Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Oh, my dream was to do the best show tonight, but it's just not possible. It's just not going to happen. Oh, what am I going to do? I want to do the show. I can.
Right now, you're live.
I'm live, what? All right, you know what? You know what? If I'm live, look out. That's all I got to say. Look out. Who said, oh, look out? That's Iggy Pop said that. Look out. Remember when he said that? And then the song went, wow, 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 wow. Yeah. I'm going to do that. Iggy Pop style. Remember when he had that jar of peanut butter and then he did things with it? Yeah. Those were the days. Those were the days, my friend. Oh no. What are we going to do? We're going to do the best show and we got the good one for you tonight. Tonight, the topic is what is blank doing right now? So you ask me, what's, for example, oh, I don't know, what is the kid from Jerry Maguire doing right now? Little Kenny. Is that his name? Little Kenny? It looked like a newborn chick. Remember that? Jonathan Lipnicki is what his name was. He looked like a little hatched chick. And then he lit up America with all his funny things that he said, like Yogi Berra. But he was a little kid. That's why it was funny. Because it's funny when a little kid or an old person says things that only adults should be interested in. Because kids shouldn't know yet, and old people are supposed to give up on everything. When it's like, when some old person's like, are you talking about sex? And then everybody laughs as if the world was not populated by those old people. How on earth could they have known about sex? Could you imagine? No. So, for example, what is little Jonathan Lipnicki doing right now? That's what we talk about. What's he doing? And you call up at 201-332-3484 and you give me one and we'll figure it out together and we'll talk about all sorts of other stuff. And we got the world premiere. That's right. World premiere. You know the band Islands, how much I love Islands. My guy, Nick Diamonds, Nick Thorburn, whatever name he is working under, whether it's Islands or Mr. Heavenly or Nick Diamonds or the Boogie Boards, whatever band he's working under. He never had a band called Boogie Boards. They've got a new album coming out, Islomania, and we're going to hear the world premiere from it tonight, the song We Like to Do It with the Lights On. Ooh, racy stuff. So children, it's bedtime. Grown-up music coming in a little bit. And we got all sorts of other stuff coming up tonight. It's going to be a good night. Fun show. Pat, am I playing the theme?
Go for it.
Best show. It's best show time. Here we go. Islands coming up right after the theme. New song from Islands. Get ready. Without further ado, we're going to debut the song from the new Islands album, Islomania, which comes out in a few months. This song is called We Like To, close parentheses, Do It With the Lights On. Here we go.
We dance to the song. On and on, we do it with the lights on. We like to do it with the lights on. Dance to the song. On and on, we do it with the lights on. All night, we do it with the lights on. Gets loud, so turn it up and close the door. I wanna move right now. I can't see your face when you're moving out of place. I wanna dance till dawn. I wanna do it with the lights on. Dance to the song. On and on, we do it with the lights on. We like to do it with the lights on. We dance to the song. On and on, we do it with the lights on. We like to do it with the lights on.
We like to do it with the light.
lights on.
New stuff from islands. We like to do it with the lights on. And that is from their upcoming album, Islomania. Now you might be saying to yourself, Tom, when does Islomania come out? Well, June 11th is when it comes out. It's going to be on Royal Mountain Records. The guy's doing it. Nick Thorburn. What'd you think about that song, Jason Gore? Jason Dudio Gore?
I think it's a hit.
A hit?
Yeah, that's a good one.
That's a good one. Thank you. I'm glad you like it. Pat Byrne, thoughts?
Joyous.
Joy. Thank you. That's great. Now, I don't want to ask the third member of the squad there. Cause he'll wonder, he'll start going, no, no, no. It's like, I didn't hear any, first of all, the song was short, so he might not like it cause it wasn't a 68 minute, drum space.
I liked it. Good beat. Good dance to it.
Yeah. And I think that's the right music for where we're heading for the rest of 2021. They got a nice up-tempo song. Mm-hmm. Enough with the sad sack crap. The people crying all the time. I'm kidding. This is not, I don't know why I'm taking some hard stand against the music I listen to. 80% of the music I listen to is that. Suddenly I'm taking a courageous stand against anything that's slow or down-tempo. No! Well, my friends, the best show is here. The best show is back, some might say. And I'm pumped to be here with you. And we're going to talk all about the, wait, what are we going to talk about again? Oh, where is blank right now? So let's do it. The phone number 201-332-3484. You want to get in on it? Yeah, we have a good old time. And I should say right now, while we're all together here, we got a new episode of So Far, which is the podcast. It's a crowd pleaser, So Far. It's a little bit, it's one part endurance test, one part crowd pleaser. It's a show in which me and Pat and Mike and Jason all go year by year through the entirety of the catalog of Crosby, Stills, Nash, and Young, both together and individually. And we review each and every record, and it's fun and people like it, and it's hard to do. I can only say it's hard to do. Sometimes I do it and then I don't feel good about myself, and I feel mad at the people that made the music. I feel mad at them. I cannot believe that they would go, put it out, that would be enough for them to say, we're good. That is complete. Press it. but they certainly do with some of these things. And there's albums that, even by the standards of a Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young, who are terrible. Crosby's terrible. Stills is terrible. Nash is terrible. Neil Young's not terrible. And there's points when you're just like, what were they thinking of with this? Like, you got this Graham Nash and this guy, for some reason, this guy thinks he's the second coming of Howard Jones on half these records. We're deep into the 80s right now, and everything he's doing is like the synth pop. It's like Nick Kershaw. Like, he's Nick Kershaw's papa. Proud papa to Nick Kershaw. And look, I like Nick Kershaw a lot. He had so many great songs. Well, he actually had one great song. He actually only had one song. I think they might have kicked him out of the studio after he tried to do a second one. Can you name the hit by Nick Kershaw, anyone on the Best Show staff?
No.
Wouldn't It Be Good?
There it is. Our DJ, the in-house announcer, Jason Gore, knew it. But this Graham Nash sounds like he's trying to be like a new waver. And it's pathetic. And you're going to want to barf when you hear it. And
I think that ends outside of this batch that we're in, though. I think it goes back to a little more of an acoustic sound with a tiny bit of synth, not full on synth. It's still bad.
It's bad. But this show, you only can get it to Patreon. Well, there's one episode we put up. How do we do this now?
Yeah, episode 2. 71, 72, just went up on the main feed. It went up on Sunday. So you got episode 0 up on the main feed, episode 1 and episode 2, just to kind of give you a taste of everything we're doing over on the Patreon.
Yeah. And they're all good, but you have to listen to all of them. I really feel like it's a journey. We're all on a journey through the past, right? Remember when Neil Young sang that one? And the one kid who works on the show, Mike, he really has opinions that I don't know where the guy's getting off. Sometimes I say, where's this kid getting off with these takes on these things?
When are we going to start calling it too far?
Because we've gone too far.
We've taken it too far. Yeah.
It has gone way too far.
I think that was 1984.
Yeah, Mike, it is no longer too far. That is, we have gone long past too far, and now we're getting to the point when they are recording, they're recording a little more responsibly, finally. So, they're gonna start, there's gonna be less, and then it's funny because you do the thing, and then somebody's like, they'll be like, hey, you didn't like the album I love so much. It's like, okay, I'm sorry. I don't know what to tell you. Whole point of an opinion-based thing is it's an opinion. Now, I'm going to say this before I get it. Patreon.com/thebestshow. That's where you support the show. That's where you get so far. That's where you get meet my friends of friends. All the content is available there. Now, I issued an edict to the Best Show staff because I hear these other shows. I watch this George Lucas talk show, and the kid that runs that manages. He trips over Whoopi Goldberg and big names like that. And meanwhile, we're coming up dry. So I said, get me some big names. And now Pat is telling me there's a big name on the line, that somebody that works on the show listened and went and got a big name to appear on the show. Now I'm interested in who this big name is. Are they on, Pat?
You're live now.
Hello. Hi.
Hello.
Oh, I know who this is. This is.
Hi, is this 201 Dead Hug?
What's that?
Is this 201 Dead Hug?
It is 201 Dead Hug. You know the numbers. Now, this guy, this is going to be tricky. This is going to take me about a half hour to explain. He's from a group called the Tenderloins. And apparently they licensed the Tenderloins appear on a show called Impractical Jokers. And this is the Joker that this is everybody's favorite Joker. I think we could just say it. This is Sal Vulcano. How are you, Sal? It's so nice to hear your voice again.
That's all I'm thinking right now as I listen to you.
Well, I miss you so much. You're a sweetheart and you're the Joker or the, now when I call you a Joker, am I supposed to call you a tenderloin who's a Joker?
I don't think there's rules, you know, in general. And I certainly don't think there's rules for you and I.
No. Well, I just call you Sal. I don't need to call you a Joker or a tenderloin.
Yeah. You can choose what you want to call me. And as long as I don't take like incredible umbrage with it, I'll accept it.
Yeah. Well, you're an easygoing guy. You take it as it comes. You're kind of, cause the show is like four personality types where you got one guy is a wacko and then the other one is a real loose cannon. And then one is a total who knows what's going on there. And then there's you.
Yeah, it's so funny because out of those three descriptions, I don't know who you meant for each one.
I don't know either. I don't know. I realized that as I was saying it, that I didn't know what I was talking about. Now, there's a new season, Sal? New season of Impractical Jokers?
Yes, sir. It's airing right now, Thursday nights on True, season 9.
It's Tuesday, yeah. Sal.
What's that?
Sal, it's Tuesday.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's airing currently.
Oh, no. Well, that goes without saying. It's True TV. The odds are there's an Impractical Jokers episode on.
It's today, Tuesday. Today, the Misery Index game show is on TBS on Tuesday night.
Okay. That's right.
No.
You're Yeah, because you have another show called Misery Index, which is you doing it. It's like it's a fun game show.
Yeah, that's another mortgage helper. Yeah,
another mortgage helper. You still need help with the mortgage, huh? You're on TV. You're on TV 600 hours a week. You're still looking for a little boost with things. Was this a side job?
Yeah, I like to say in very small increments.
Yes. What, if this is a mortgage helper, what did you negotiate a 1-year mortgage and you got to cover the whole thing?
Yeah. I took out a 3-month mortgage.
Yeah. You got to learn to, they offer longer terms than that, Sal.
I'm new to the mortgage game, Tom.
Yeah. Well, so you have Impractical Jokers and then you have the Misery Index. And then, this is how popular these guys are. There's literally a show where you watch them eat food.
Isn't
now.
What? Now after that one, I think I won. Whatever
you, yeah. Now, that's when you know, in whatever previous life you were, Sal, you did some good stuff.
I did something noble, maybe.
Because now they're paying you to eat dinner on television.
No, I know. You know what's so funny? It's like we had the quarantine and nobody had any new material coming out. And they asked us if we'd like to do something maybe, you know, from our homes. And I was like, well, we're really limited. I'm not going to start to learn how to work cameras and have all these weird deadlines and be here alone trying to do it. So I was like, why don't you just turn on cameras and we'll do like a live stream? Like, why don't we do a live stream from home? We tried to think of that. And we're like, we'll just riff. I mean, everyone wants to connect right now. This was like at the height in the beginning when we didn't know if we'd ever see anything ever again.
Yeah.
We were just like, you know, why don't we just like, cause then we wouldn't have to prepare anything. You know, we'll just shoot from the hip. And like, we'll just see where it goes. It's kind of that no net because it's live type thing. And we convinced them to do it, but then they were like, we just need to couch it as something. And I was like, look, I mean, like, why don't we get together and eat every night? Why don't we just get together and eat every night? We'll have dinner guests. We'll pick, you know, what we're cooking for each week. People can follow along. It's a structure is all it is. It's just a structure for us.
Mm-hmm.
So they said yes. And then for like, yeah, I mean, we did 18, I think, of those. Well, and hoping to do some more. It might live beyond this crazy time, actually.
Sal, the Impractical Jokers are the only ones who are rooting to keep the pandemic going. They're
show for dinner.
Yeah. Otherwise he's going to start to be like, what? I got to leave the house now to do the show.
Yeah. That's basically the goal really, right? It would be to operate every single thing just from home. If I never had to leave the house again, I might sign up. Yeah. I'm that type of fellow.
Now there are people who are going to come out of this pandemic and they have gotten permission to not see anybody and they're going to go, I think I'm going to stick with that. I like how that felt. I liked how 2020 felt to kind of not see any of you face to face. I think that's me now.
I couldn't echo that more. I'll give you one guess. Guess who's wearing a mask for the rest of his life?
Hi, everybody. Tim Heidecker here to let you know about our latest episode of Office Hours Live.
Office Hours is great fun.
With the great John Early and Theda Hamill.
Very handsome.
Thank you. They're here to talk about their new movie, Stress Positions. And we just had a wonderful time. There was a lot of laughter and joy. Don't believe me? Well, listen for yourself on the podcast app of your choice. You're not going to want to miss a second. That's at Office Hours Live at the podcast app of your choice.
Bum, 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 bum.
I love Vic and Doug, and I love drinking my wine.
You.
That's correct. That's correct. You're gonna just... You could have taken the guy from Mortal Kombat, but...
Yeah. Yeah, you got a Sub-Zero vibe going on.
Are you in LA still? You are, right?
I am, yes. Yeah, and it's exciting here and everybody's being safe, but you can still feel like it feels like a little teeny, like it feels like a teeny tiny bit better, I guess, because people have a teeny tiny bit more hope, but it's still like, it's still just like being in a weird, bad movie, like a bad science fiction movie. So did you film, how did you film this new season? Is this all pre-quarantine were you shooting post? How did you do it?
We started, we had filmed we used to shoot about 26 to 30 episodes a season. We had filmed two when, last year on March 12th when we shut down. Mm-hmm. So we had two episodes in the can, and then come this November, we finally went back to shooting with all these new protocols in place, and we filmed another 8 episodes, so now we have 10 to air.
Okay.
And starting tomorrow, we start to work on the next batch of, like, hopefully 16 episodes.
Okay.
We switch it up. You know, there's no more just walking up to anyone and everyone in any location. It's much more now, all leaning in on, like, appointments, you know, waiting rooms for, you know, all everything you can think of, like, you know, interviews, focus groups, presentations, things like that.
No, it really, the ones I've seen from this current season are really funny. And the photographer one was really great. Like that, doing the photo shoot in like the gardens or whatever, where, you know, when you're,
Yeah. It's a function of like wanting to be distanced and even outdoors, anything we could stack in our favor for safety, you know, like everyone's tested, but then these people are coming to do these like photo shoots for the day. And so it's outdoors distance to kind of like help play into that kind of thing. So if you didn't really know, our hope was that if you didn't really know it was COVID times, you wouldn't be able to really tell the episodes apart.
Sure. Yeah. I will say that this situation, what this does, it's finally safe to go to Jersey Gardens and not be bothered by the impractical jokers asking to watch their grandfather while they go to the bathroom. That or the mall. What's the mall out on around Nyack?
Palisades.
The mall that's slowly sinking into the ground.
Yes.
There's this amazing mall out there that has a Ferris wheel in it. And shocking thing, it's It's sinking. It's built on faulty. It's like a disaster movie waiting to happen. This mall, like every year it sinks a few inches into the ground because it's this mushy New York State soil they built it on top of. And so.
No idea.
You didn't know that?
No, I didn't know it was sinking. I was so impressed by that mall the first time we went there because I couldn't, it always seemed empty. And then someone noted, no, it's the sheer size of it. And then I realized how big it was. And I was like, I've never seen, besides the Mall of America. And so we looked it up. And I think that particular mall is like one of the top 5 or 10 biggest malls in the entire country.
It's enormous. It's like 5 floors.
And
I'll tell you one thing. If you ever need a cell phone case, head on out to that mall. There's only about 800 kiosks selling cell phones. It's a buyer's market for cell phone cases out at that mall.
There's no barrier to entry on cell phone protection these days. I mean, think about every single color combination you've ever thought of and triple it. That's how much we're working with out there.
Yeah.
If I ever go into a mall again. So I'm happy about that. I don't love walking up to strangers. I really don't.
No, and that's what makes it funny because you seem to just generally dislike almost all of it on it's not where you live. Like yeah. You would leave every stranger alone in yeah. real life. Like if it was not a part of a television show, you wouldn't, it seems like you would not go up to anybody ever.
Dead on accurate.
You'd keep to yourself. And that would be that. You're not going to be just like, hey, let me ask you, can you settle a bet for me and my buddy? Can you imagine what
my life?
Imagine if you were walking through the mall and then somebody came up to you and said, hey, you want to settle a bet for me and my buddy? Wouldn't you be like, why are you talking to me?
Yeah. I would enact whatever self-defense class I took in grammar school right in that moment.
Uh-huh.
You know, a chop or a swipe or something. I don't like being approached. Yeah.
Wait. What self-defense classes were you taught in school? What was going on at your school? Chops and swipes?
I took like 3 months of karate
mm-hmm.
in eighth grade. I ended up with a white belt, double black tip, iron fist. And to tell you the truth, I don't even know if those rankings are sanctioned.
I think that sounds like if a McDonald's was selling hot dogs. Sounds like something the owner's gone rogue on that one.
Yeah, Sensei Glenn. I think, you know, my mom got the money together. We had to buy our own geese. And then, you know, I went there, he yelled at us for a couple of months. I did jumping jacks and I don't know how I got the black kids. I don't think I have any discernible karate skills, but
you don't think you do?
I remember, you know, some standard kicks.
Okay. So in a pinch, you think you could break out like a half decent kick?
If I had to employ karate in a pinch, I mean, it's going to be slightly better than the average human's kick.
Yeah. But
I'll probably pull on just a small bit of the technique I learned. But honestly, I feel like if I spoke to you about it for like a minute or two, you'd be able to pull off the same kicks that I did. There's nothing special in my kick.
Sure. Now I know that you're not by nature a self-promoter of a self-promoting guy. You're a pretty head down kind of fella. What would you be more likely to do if you were confronted with some guy wanted to throw down and wanted to tussle with you? Would you be more apt to say, to break out a karate, to try a karate kick, or to go, I'm Sal from Impractical Jokers. I'm on television.
Yeah.
Like neither of them seem like a move you would make. Which one would you do more? Would you do first?
out of those, I'd probably avoid violence. I'm not a tough fellow. I'm not a tough man. I wouldn't want to hit anyone. I'm until the last minute that I have to be physical with someone, I probably wouldn't be, unless of course someone's bullying someone, or it's, I'm more apt to break into, I'm more apt to pull out a karate kick. I was half-assed taught in 1989 if someone's bothering someone that I know.
Sure.
So than myself. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. For me, I would intervene if it was somebody else. If it was me, I think I would either, I would say like, hey, did you ever watch, the show Monk? I wrote for that show. Like, see if that moved the needle at all. Just like, I'd play any card I could play.
That's the funny. So someone's about to get into a physical altercation with you and you say, I wrote for the show Monk. I love that.
Yeah. I would just hope that their parents liked it. And then I'd be like, maybe I'll get you Tony Shalhoub's autograph. Give me your information. Then I'd take that information right to the police.
Oh, that would, if that came full circle in that way, like they were going to assault you, but then they held off. You kept them at bay with the promise of Tony Shalhoub's autograph.
Yeah.
That led the police to them.
They give me a mailing address to send them the headshot to. And then I just walk that right to the police and go, yeah, this guy was going to beat the crap out of me.
Wasn't there a sting like that? It might have been like Serpico, where they did a sting operation where they invited all these people they knew that had like, that were like, you know, I don't know if they were in the mafia or they used illegal guns. It's like, and they invited them to like this Yankee or this baseball signing, and all these criminals showed up and they just arrested all of them.
I think that sounds like the plot of the Jerry Reed, Suzanne Plachette, Dom DeLuise movie, Hot Stuff.
Does it? Maybe I'm confusing my movies.
It's either Serpico or the Dom DeLuise movie, Hot Stuff. It's either a legendary New York movie that every kid had like a Serpico poster on their wall. At least in movies, they would. There'd always be some like kid would have a, didn't John Travolta have a Serpico poster on his wall in Saturday Night Fever?
Oh, did he? That would be fitting. He might have. Yeah, you might be right.
Yeah.
I had it on VHS.
Like you'd picture him going to like, you picture him at the mall going to, Spencer's Gifts and he's like, I want, you got any, you got a Serpico poster? You got any posters in Serpico?
It's so funny to think that his character in Saturday Night Fever idolized a whistleblowing.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah. He's a big fan of whistleblowers.
Yeah. He's like, I like two things. Disco and justice.
I like two things. I like internal investigations at the police with the police department. Internal investigations for corruption inside the force and dancing.
I love the hustle and not getting hustled.
Yes, that's exactly it. The hustle and the not hustle.
Yeah.
Now, are you
how pleasant it is to also dial into a show and have a phone conversation with someone as opposed to having to, because I'm in pajamas right now, like mm-hmm. as opposed to having to, I don't know if you're doing Zooms because you might
no be, not really
okay
oh no I'm into it so much to not have to see you, no offense to, yeah, I would love to see you, but to not have people see me is what I'm saying.
Right, exactly.
Now, the movie industry has more or less collapsed, since March, which I feel leaves a wide path for one of the final movies that aired in theaters in 2020. And the Oscar nominations are coming up soon. Is there any chance the Impractical Jokers movie gets nominated for Oscars?
There is absolutely no chance, is what my tells me. But for shits and giggles, there was only like 100 movies. So So yeah. Like all the mailers went out, and I have people, friends and all the guilds sending me screenshots of them checking the box for us.
Mm-hmm.
If it was every year, Tom.
Oh my, could you imagine if for some reason the ballots came in so light and your friends and people who enjoyed the movie also, not just your friends, but people who were fans of it and saw it in a theater, and suddenly what if that was the worst thing that happened to you guys? Cause now all of a sudden, what if one of you got nominated for best actor?
Oh God.
Imagine what it would do to the group if Murr got nominated for best actor. Oh, and the other three of you didn't.
That would be amazing. That would be amazing.
So that would change the chemistry of everything.
Oh man, I couldn't. He would be too, I mean, he'd be an Academy Award winning actor. I don't keep time with those types.
What if he won? And the winner, and the award for best actor goes to James Murray in Practical Jokers movie. And he gets up there, and what if he doesn't even thank you guys?
That would be the best possible scenario.
He thanks his agent.
Would be the most funny, memorable thing I could imagine.
Yeah, that would be the greatest moment in movie history. Would be Murr from Impractical Jokers winning Best Actor for the Impractical Jokers movie and completely blowing off the Impractical Jokers in his acceptance speech.
I'll go a step further. I would beg him to do that if you want. I think that's so funny. Here's my pledge to you. If by some crazy chain of events, something happens, and you know, we've had a lot of ballot stuff happening this year. If something happens where I am accepting an award for best actor, I think that we should write the, I would love to have you as a partner to help me write the acceptance speech. And I will go off the reservation with it. We could really do whatever you like. And I promise that's what I'll do.
Oh, please. I would do that inside. But the thing is, if somebody won an award, it would have to just be a punishment on an episode of the show to go up and read what the other three wrote.
We would be missing an opportunity if we didn't do that, right? We should do that, save it for sweepstakes. Yeah.
The ultimate punishment would be to have to be at a major award show and read a thank yous that you did not write. So, Sal Vulcano, you also have 8 podcasts now. You turn around, suddenly you are responsible for 4% of the podcasts in existence. You have your name on. tell everybody about these podcasts you have.
Sure. I had a podcast years ago. I think Q and I started in like 2012 or 2013. Q being Brian Quinn from my show. We did a podcast called
Not Q, the head of QAnon. You did not do a podcast. Oh, is he rethinking that nickname now?
You know, that's so funny. Yeah, all of a sudden his nickname is not too,
not fun, not as fun as it might have been.
Yeah. I should stop QAnon.
So you guys did a podcast called, what was it called? What Say You?
Yeah, What Say You. It was the shit and stuff. But it was a lot of fun, but our schedules got tough and it went away. So I don't have that one anymore. But for the last couple of years, I've been meaning to start one up. And then, you know, being home and everything, I kind of was like, yeah, this is the right time. I have a lot of time to myself. I want to do something just completely autonomous that is just like out of my home with zero influence from anywhere else. And I also want to have work and be able to do something that can't get like, you know, canceled. When I say canceled, I don't mean canceled in the cancel culture way, but just something that I control when it begins and ends and things like that. So I started 2 podcasts with 2 friends, and one's called Taste Buds. And I do it with my buddy Joe DeRosa, and it's it's it was something that we've been doing for years, and we were just like, this is fun. This is escapism podcasting, Tom. We're not co-hosts or edgy over here.
No, but you take it. It might as well, you might as well be debating, a court case the way you guys are going at it.
We debate, basically, we put powerhouse foods against each other and we debate them with vim and vigor for a good 30, 40 minutes. And at the beginning of the podcast, we put up a poll on Twitter right now, and then we will say like something like Oreo versus Chips Ahoy, or you know, lasagna versus chicken parmesan, or you know, what have you, anything and everything, jelly donut versus Boston cream. And we on sides,
go ahead, sorry. I mean,
really, they're knockdown arguments, they're knockdown, drag out arguments, but they're just over food, and
give me one. And let me see where I would land on it.
Okay. Let's see. We've recorded like 20 eps so far. I'm going to pull up the episode list right here. So where would you land on? Okay. This was a big fight a couple of weeks ago. Peanut butter and jelly sandwich versus a grilled cheese sandwich.
I mean, that's so hard. It's like apples and oranges. I guess I would always go with a grilled cheese sandwich.
Really?
I like grilled cheese sandwiches a lot. I do like peanut butter and jelly sandwiches too. That's a coin flip for me.
Well, that's kind of where what makes a good episode. We kind of try to get in there where people mm-hmm. have really strong opinions about something, or they're so close and you have to
break it down.
Yeah, you kind of like coax a debate out of people because if it is a toss up, you really get them thinking, you know?
Yeah. I guess I would say, look, peanut butter and jelly feels so much more limited. A grilled cheese sandwich you could have soup with it. And that's fun. Okay. Everybody likes soup.
Could do that, but we're really arguing the merits of the sandwiches on their own, Tom.
Sure. Okay. Well,
with my peanut butter and jelly.
Yeah. Look, I truly get it now. Now I'm actually upset by this. I went from thinking it was just like, oh, they argue about their dumb stuff. And now I'm legitimately torn about how I feel about this. But Oreo versus Chips Ahoy. I mean, it's like, if you're talking like a standard Oreo over a Chips, I would go with an Oreo over a Chips Ahoy.
As would I. I don't understand who would go with a Chips Ahoy these days.
Oh, weirdo Joe DeRosa, I guess, clearly would.
Yeah. What about Chewy Chips Ahoy?
Chewy Chips Ahoy, Pat, you're saying? That just feels like, then I might as well go with, I would counter that with Double Stuff.
No, okay, fair point.
Yeah, if you want to bring in the full product line, Pat, you're really going to open a can of worms, and it's fine. Sometimes during the debate, we allow the breadth of the product line. And sometimes we just want to specify that it's the original going head to head with the original.
Mm-hmm.
There are many facets to the argument. You know, sometimes we go product specific, like we'll do Doritos versus combos, but a lot of times we go generic, like everything bagel versus cinnamon raisin bagel, mm-hmm. or ice cream sandwich versus Chipwich, or pancakes versus waffles, and so on and so forth.
Now, why don't they, why don't people, and I mean, I guess the answer would be if you just go to a bagel place and you pick out which bagels you want. If you went to like the supermarket, for example, and they had like bagels and like they don't sell like combo packs ever. Like why, if they're going to sell six bagels, it's like, I don't want six cinnamon raisin bagels. I would want like two poppy, two something else, and then maybe two cinnamon raisin or some kind of sweet bagel on the way out. But I can't. What am I supposed to do with six of those things?
You're not supposed to do anything. You have a legitimate gripe. I agree with you. That's why I only go to bagel stores.
Yeah. But now,
you ever do the phenomenon when you were like, maybe, I know when I was a kid, something my mom had a cookie jar, and sometimes she used to co-mingle cookies in that thing. And I swear to you, that if they were in there for a while with a closed top, when I took out one cookie, it would have the taste profile of another cookie.
Oh, you're completely right. They got, first of all, the whole thing would get ruined by some dumb cookie getting thrown in, would be like, would ruin every, all the other cookies. Like some weird gritty, like vanilla Oreo would get all over everything. And now you got vanilla Oreo dust hanging all over all the cookies. Or Nilla wafer dust would be the real offender.
Oh yeah, Nilla would come in there and sprinkle its Nilliness everywhere.
Yeah, and then they get soft prematurely, and next thing you know, you just deal with a jar of stale cookies.
Yes, that's exactly right. They do get soft, especially when you commingle them. They get all like just flaky. I don't know what it is.
Sometimes like a cookie gets soft and it's gross, and then sometimes a cookie gets real dried out, and it's like, man, it's still all right. It's a weird phenomenon.
Yeah.
But this podcast is now I'm hooked. And taste buds.
Yeah. We do versus lemonade, egg salad versus tuna salad. It's fun. It's like easy. Like we argue for like a half hour. It's like just, you know, take your mind off stuff, a few laughs. It's been perceived really well. People, what I found is we recorded. I didn't want to like have to promote two separate places to go for the podcast. The other podcast is called Hey Babe.
Mm-hmm.
And it's with another comic named Chris DeStefano. And that one is much more freeform. But we were like, I didn't want to tell people like, go here for this, go here for that. So what we ended up doing was just putting them both in one destination, at least on YouTube. We made a channel called No Presh. So we just tell people go to No Presh because we were going to do other projects and everything. So we're like, go to there. It has both things. So we just did it that way. And I don't know, man. It's been so much fun. It's been
that's awesome. And please tell me you would pick tuna over egg salad.
You put me in the I don't ever want to let you down. I don't ever want to let you down. But I feel that I'm much more weary of tuna salad than I am egg salad at any given moment. A good tuna salad is good, but a bad tuna salad could pull me away from tuna for life. I feel like there's both a mayonnaise component, which is a very polarizing ingredient.
Yeah.
And I don't know. People are adverse to eggs and people are adverse to tuna. So this was a very controversial episode as it was. A lot of people were like, this is the first time I hate both. But
look, a bad tuna salad will turn you off from tuna. A bad egg salad will put you in the hospital.
Don't you think a bad tuna will put you in the hospital too?
I just pictured like a egg salad sitting out in a picnic all day. That's all I picture, getting sweaty. Well, makes me want to throw up.
Yeah, we could discuss the merits of the food being left out all day in the sun.
Yeah, well, that's true. I guess I'm assigning some pretty severe conditions to the. Look, they're both. It's a disaster if either of them is sitting out in the sun. To be fair, you're right. It's not like, this tuna tastes a little better when it sits out all afternoon. So
I like, you don't like egg salad at all? Cause I really do like it when it's not overly creamy. That's gross.
I would have egg salad occasionally if it made sense at I wouldn't mind in the right circumstances, a deviled egg.
Okay. Yeah.
But I can't, but you ever go through the grocery store, even like a fancy grocery store, and they have like deviled eggs pre-made, and you're just like, yeah, I would never order that in a million years. I'd never pick that up at a grocery store, even like a gourmet place. It would be like, I don't trust it.
You can't, because it's one of those things that even after like a half hour, it gets this weird like coating over it.
Yeah. Like a weird filmy kind of.
Yes.
Yeah, it's disgusting. Now, Sal, you also, I have an idea for a show, and you guys have the huge deal that you back the money truck up to hand everything to the tenderloins. Now, here's the idea for the show. We need an angel on this. It's called Staten Island Garbage Rats. And
I think I heard of this one for a long time.
Oh, it's been around for a long time. I've been waiting for somebody to get a deal that could bring this to life.
It's off the shelf?
We're dusting this one off. We shoot it. It's me, Jason and Pat and Mike from the show, and then maybe a couple other people, and we pick through a garbage dump on Staten Island. Like, you, how about this? You roll up at the beginning of every episode. You're like, hey, garbage rats, here's, I need you to find me a panini maker. See how many panini makers you can find me. And then we start just digging through the trash of like Arthur Kill or whatever the best garbage dump is out there on Staten Island. And then it's just us in the filth trying to pull together whatever challenge you put in front of us. Like, and then you come back and you total up what we found.
Okay. Okay. I have questions.
Sure.
Okay. So it's the four of you. The dump has been closed down, but I'm sure we still have garbage deposit.
Even more of a challenge.
Yeah, thank you, Pat. Yeah. Look, then we'll go get an old scooper dig. You scoop two layers out and you're hitting old bicycles on that hill on Staten Island.
Okay. So it's the four of you. Are you all independently against each other? Are you on teams? Are you working together?
Teams of two.
Teams of two, like Pat said. And Pat's enthusiastic about this. I like this.
Yeah, I believe me. I will ask you a million questions. We'll get to the bottom. And we'll see if this is viable.
Okay.
Are you constantly against the same two people, against the same two people? Are you switching it up weekly?
I think that it'll bracket off so that there's a point system, and whoever in the teams of two, even within the teams, had the highest points, that means that the following week, the highest scores team up against the lowest scores. So the teammates could change, could alternate.
Well, what about this, Pat and Sal? Or I want to talk, show respect to our EP on this, of course, Sal Volcano. what if it's the four of us and then two celebrities each week? Like we bring in like, then suddenly it's like, oh, now we've got, you know, Kyle MacLachlan is digging through the, Kyle MacLachlan's looking for, he's fishing through looking for, to see if he can find like a dictionary or an encyclopedia set.
Panini Press.
Sarah MacLachlan Panini. Or Kyle MacLachlan?
What if we do Sarah versus Kyle opening episode?
I like this. Now it's MacLachlan versus MacLachlan on either side.
Yeah.
I also think Sal should actually roll up in the beginning of every episode on a motorcycle or like a really cool car, and actually toss us from a distance, like a manila, folder or something like that. And we actually have to, you basically give us a clue. Like if it's a blender, as Tom said, you know, it's like, hope you guys can mix this episode together. And we're like, what? And you ride off. And then we have to open the envelope frantically, put together the clues just to figure out what we're digging for. And then the clock starts.
What if that's the opening challenge? Kind of like on Top Chef, how they have that quick fire challenge.
Quick so we fire have to challenge. Do some, yeah, exactly.
Like a quick trash challenge and quick then get trash. To the real one.
Okay. So what function would the quick trash challenge serve to get to the opening one? What would you win by winning the quick trash challenge?
You might have an advantage. You'd have an advantage in terms of what sector of the garbage dump you can work from, maybe.
Yeah.
What sector? Okay. So got it. So now, and then would I confirm for you? Like, what if you read it and you're like, oh, mix it up. And then you look for a mixer and not a blender. Do I tell you this, or are you just looking for something completely in vain? And then Tom's going for the, you never had a shot.
Well, I think you're watching. We'll just do something where you're watching from like a monitor that, and look, you'll shoot all this stuff in a block. We're asking for 2 days of shooting for you.
Tops.
We're gonna shoot you out so fast on this thing, Sal. Your head's gonna spin. All you gotta do is bring a bunch of changes of clothes to set. That way when you roll up and you're like, good afternoon, garbage rats, you're wearing like a different outfit each time.
Sal, bring 5 jackets. That's it. Just 5 jackets.
Flip them up over the, you have the same t-shirt on underneath.
Yeah, these are the tricks I do on the show now.
Oh, yeah, I watch. I see the tricks you're doing.
Okay, what are you ultimately playing for here? What is the play? Are you playing for money for yourselves? Are you playing for Bragging Rights Weekly? What happens? How long are we watching you just aimlessly search through garbage? Is it the full 22 minutes?
Well, what if – well, 22 is a little limiting. I was hoping this each episode would be 3 hours long. But.
So you want to do something groundbreaking.
It's event television. Yeah.
Yes. Now, I would think the losers have to sleep in the dump for the night.
And the winner gets off of Staten Island.
This is – I was not prepared for there to be this many moving parts. I think I need you guys to make a show Bible first.
Yeah, yeah. I like this. This went from you thinking we were going to throw one sentence at you that was the title, and you were going to go ha ha, to just being like, "Hey, simplify this."
What happened to my chimp?
Oh, that's right. Mike has a chimp also.
Yeah, named Cuddles.
Cuddles. I forgot about the chimp.
Well, and Sal McLaughlin's going to be okay with that.
Yeah. Kyle McLaughlin, we're just like, we got bad news. The chimp mauled Kyle McLaughlin. Cuddles attacked Kyle McLaughlin.
Kyle McLaughlin on hand to do the charity song for it.
Yes, she'll sing that. Is that her going in the arms of an angel? Right.
Yes, in the arms of a garbage rat. Really.
In the arms of a garbage rat. And the thing, whenever that commercial comes on, by the way, I would be like, I already donate money to animal shelters. Why do I have to see this? Why am I not exempt from this commercial?
Can I ask you guys if I could just summarize what we have so far? So. Random teams are selected to face each other in a garbage hunt that's 3 hours long. Al McLaughlin and Sarah McLaughlin will join and be assigned to respective teams.
On the pilot.
Mike has a chimp that will also be helping. I speed up in a motorcycle or some type of cool car. I'll have a change of clothes, 5 jackets. I'll then give you some haphazard clue that will have a hint on what you're searching for the quick trash challenge. Uh-huh. I will leave you 6 to your own devices while I watch from monitors somewhere on the property.
Yeah.
When one of you pulls the proper quick trash challenge, that will give you some sort of leg up in the following 2-hour and 40-minute garbage hunt.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We'll set you up at
the most
Pastisseria Bruno. You'll be sitting there.
I love when you give me Staten Island references.
You'll be sitting there.
I also think it would be great if Sal was clearly, like, his green room situation, whenever it cuts to that camera, is clearly getting better and better, and we are just getting more and more covered in garbage.
It's clear the money is, like, and just partway through the season, we start to question the budgeting of the show and where the money's being allocated. We started to realize, man, I think this Sal's taking us for a ride on this thing.
Well, how much do you think, what are we budgeting per episode here? What do you think our overhead is? I would love you guys to have like cool, like varsity style jackets that say the garbage rats on them. Maybe a blue team, something like that. We got a brand.
Yeah, I would like that so that we could put that in the budget. What if you're just like, guys, I tried to get you the jackets. The money just isn't there. For the jacket. I tried to move heaven and earth. I was screaming at them. I'm telling you, I was screaming at them. I was like, if they don't have the jackets, we can't do it. But They're really just digging their heels in on it. They really are fighting the jackets.
And we imagine that was the only thing holding the show up.
The four jackets. Well, a chimp-sized jacket also. I would hope Cuddles would be wearing.
Oh, boy, guys.
And it would be the kind of thing where, like, you'll get involved and then suddenly they'd be like, I'm going to go back to the Taco Bell. I'm going to go back to the Taco Bell viewing center. Like, it just product names everywhere you turn on the thing.
Right. The Quicken Loans. The Jamba Juice Video Village.
Yeah. I'm going back. I'm going to get back on my, yeah, you'll be like, I'm going to go get back on my, my GameStop dirt bike and ride back to the Quicken Loans Video Village and have an ice cold Sprite.
This might be the only way that we get this even off the ground, corporate sponsorship.
Yeah.
It's just so unorthodox. 5 3-hour episodes is tough.
But then there will also be those times like you love in any reality show where something goes wrong and producers have to run out and it gets really serious. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, one of us would get stabbed by like an old knife or a, you know, garden tool.
Yeah.
No tetanus shots.
No tetanus shots would be like, and then it'll be like, on a special episode of Staten Island Garbage Rats, the garbage rats say goodbye to an old friend. And you just see a chopper airlifting one of us out of the,
It's a big drone.
A giant drone. The garbage rats say goodbye to one of their own. And, yeah.
Maybe we could have a guest star distributing tetanus shots.
Yeah.
To earn points to get a tetanus shot.
Ooh, that's nice. Instead of a lightning round, you could have like a tetanus round.
Yeah.
And what if an episode came down to where it's like, you're like, I want you guys to make a 5-course meal out of things at the dump. Like, you need to find cooking supplies and food at the dump and then cook a meal. The two teams have to cook their competing 5-course dinners.
And we have to bring this to Danino's. And then, you know, there'll be conflict with the Danino's staff when we bring this garbage into their kitchen.
I don't like, what's Danino's? What side deal do you have with Danino's?
Sal knows Danino's.
I do. I love them, but I'm thinking big picture. I think if we get this to where we need it to be, Danino's needs us. We don't need Danino's.
There you go. Exactly.
Sorry, I am having a hard time wondering why you guys would want to do this. It's just like, you know, competitive fun. Like, I want you to want to be there because that'll translate onto the screen.
Well, I was hoping the opening thing would say, like, warning. For example, what if it's just like, this is a show about four guys just busting each other's chops in America's biggest garbage dump.
Okay.
Now I'm hoping you'll walk this into HBO Max.
You know what? We have all these pitches coming up scheduled. Oh my God. I wish you were here in New York, Tom, because like, I feel like I really would for the sake of this bit and your show and fun. And just my favorite thing is committing to a joke. The level of commitment that a joke takes, the higher it is, the more I hold that joke in high esteem. I would have you meet me and I don't care. I would waste their time and I would pitch this and have them look at us like we're absolutely crazy. Cause you're going to do that to like 99% of the ideas anyway.
Yeah. What if the worst nightmare was it went and they're just like, and they're like, hey guys, we're only going to go with one of your ideas, the garbage dump one. And then you're like, that one wasn't real. Like you're thinking to yourself, that's not a real idea. Oh no. We really like the garbage dump one.
Fast forward to season 11.
Yeah.
Which is
real. Then it would,
garbage in our 60s.
Yeah. And then True TV is literally just alternating episodes of Impractical Jokers and Staten Island Garbage Rats. And then we'd have a show, we'd get, JC, Chazé to host our after show. Right? Garbage Rats, like after the dump.
I just feel like Staten Island Garbage Rats really does have a ring to it. For some reason, it's endearing to me.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why. I think you might have blown the doors off. I think you might have opened the idea up a little when you said that, oh, maybe it's just the next week, it's us, what did you say, cooking. Like, maybe it's not every week you're not just going to look for a blender for 3 hours. Maybe it's just, you know, the garbage rats are there, the garbage dump is there, but every week there's some type of new journey you guys take and you learn new things about yourselves.
Well, that sounds good. It would be like if you dump you drop the comic book guys into a garbage dump.
Right, exactly. Yeah, let's just take different ideas that are already and put them on top of a heaping mountain, a garbage dump that you can see from outer space.
Okay, and Sal, I'm just going to say this. The other three guys can't hear me now. It's they are I don't want to say expendable, but I'm not married to any of them being on this if that's a make or break thing. So we can always swap. Me being involved is important, and I guess the chimp also. Those are the two elements. I think those are the two that those are non-starters if those went away. So, but beyond that, everything's up for discussion.
Can I make one suggestion? I'd like to bring you guys into the meeting as the Staten Island Sewer Rats, like a preformed thing. Like that's already your identity.
Like, we act like this has been happening for a while.
I like you guys are like a social club, whatever. You're a ragtag group of guys, great guys, that pal around. You don't really care where, as long as it's in and around refuse. And, you know, you got a club, you got matching jackets. And, you know, whatever happens, happens. And, you know, it's going to be 3 hours at a clip.
why don't we start an Instagram and buy 10K followers so that we walk in seeming that we already have some sort of established
family. Yeah. Now we'll, that's a plan. All right. I feel good about this.
I love that. You should start a little bit of a little guerrilla campaign for you guys right now as the identity of Staten Island Garbage Rats. Maybe get yourself a logo. I'm sure there's a talented listener out there that if you haven't done it already.
No, great exposure.
Yeah, no, we can't pay anybody, but you'll get a great exposure. That's always the
great exposure. Yeah,
that's the greatest thing. It's just like everybody's going to see this, and oh, I get paid every week.
Yeah, we're going to make money, but you're not.
That is always the great moment where it's just like, hey, you get a paycheck every week, right? It's like, oh yeah, no, I wouldn't do any of this if I wasn't getting paid weekly, but. You're the one taking a flyer on everything. Well, look, Sal.
I could see myself walking in there and going, you guys are not going to believe who I got right now, who's about to come in here. You know, you just are. I have behind that door right now, ready to walk in and pitch to you.
Mm-hmm.
I got him. It's the Staten Island Garbage Rats.
Yeah.
And you guys like come in like four Fonzies.
That'd be the greatest. And the other part is that, you know, there'd be one person in the meeting going like, oh, I know these guys, Staten Island Garbage Rats. And then he'd go like, you have no idea what you're talking about. We made all this up.
That's a whole nother show.
Yeah. The one person trying to act like, oh, I know who these guys are. This is cool.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, Sal, I know you're busy. I know you got stuff to get back to.
Tom, I'm in my pajamas, and I'm going to go to bed, but yes.
Good. Well, look, I love, first of all, I love you. I love you. Everything you do. You're one of the funniest guys going, and I'm so excited I'm so excited that the show is coming back.
Yes.
And I will see you at a home base. We'll figure out where base camp is, and then we'll, I'll see you out by the trailers for Staten Island Garbage Rats. And you just picture when you're driving on Staten Island, you see a sign that's yellow with black lettering that tells you to guide you towards set, and it just says rats. And like it has an arrow, so make a right. Like when you're trying to find where the production is located for the day.
So I like all this. When you guys come back here this way, if and when, let's shoot like a fake, like 1 minute trailer for it.
Okay.
Let's do it and bring it in.
We're going to do it. Well, Sal, you're a sweetheart.
I really do. This was like the highlight of my, this was great. All you guys. I really miss you guys.
No, you're awesome. I miss you too. Well, we will talk very soon.
Right on. Thank you guys for having me.
Thanks,
buddy.
Take care.
Got it. Bye.
Man, that's a nice guy.
It's rats with a Z, right?
I don't know. Rats with a Z.
Yeah. I think it's classic rats, Mike.
There's something when Jason and Mike argue a thing, and I disagree with the last one who spoke. It's a funny situation when it's like, when Mike's like, it's rats with a Z, right? And I'm just like, oh, will you stop talking? It's not rats with a Z, it's with an S. And then Jason's like, I think it's rats, classic rats with an S. I'm just like, oh, what's this guy talking about? Will he please? I'm just like.
So I got the win?
What's that?
I got the win.
You got the win because Jason spoke last.
So that I'm never going to open my mouth.
Or you go first. You got to hurry.
Yeah, I got to hurry.
It's going to be a rush. Everybody's going to be screaming over each other.
I just secured Staten Island Garbage Rats on Instagram, guys. So go ahead and follow everyone.
Classic rats?
It's classic rats.
Okay. Sorry, that's why Jason was defending it so much, because he holds, well, somebody's going to go grab the one with the Z. You better hurry up and get that one, too.
Grab that, too, huh?
Probably park both.
Yeah. No, I love Sal. He's such a sweetheart. He's so funny. So tonight's topic is, so what is blank doing right now? And the whole point of this is that you call up and you say, what is Chuck Scarborough up to right now? New York news anchor Chuck Scarborough. And we'll figure out what he's doing. Nicolas Cage doing this moment? And we'll just talk about it. Or you talk about whatever you want. We're having a good time tonight. 201-332-3484 is the number. Ugh, any calls, Pat?
I got a good one on three.
Let's hear it, please. Best show, hi.
Hi, it's George calling from London.
George calling from London.
Yeah, we spoke before a very long time ago, a couple of times.
Okay.
In the old days.
Well, welcome back, George.
Oh, it's great to talk to you. I had a couple of thoughts on the topic tonight. One's a retrospective in the guy that's, he's passed away, but I wonder when we're going to hear more about him in retrospectively. And the other one is someone who is alive, who's been bringing me a lot of joy during lockdown over the last year once in a while. The person who's alive is Lisa Loheed, the Canadian singer who sung, Run With Us. Which is a very definitive sort of 80s theme, and it was just always as in the last year or so, occasionally I put the music video on. It's a very 80s music video, but just a really nice, positive, joyous.
I don't know, Lisa. What is her name?
So it's Lisa Loheed, and she did the theme for the Canadian cartoon, The Raccoons. It was like the theme. It was the theme for the show, and it ran for, I think it was like 7 years, like sort of mid-80s to early 90s.
What series was that?
The Raccoons, like Cyril Sneer, and it was like a very kind of distinct, one of those kind of Saturday morning TV shows. And the music video for it is very, it's sort of definitive 80s, just a lot of things going on there, but it's just a really nice, upbeat, positive anthem. I think the song Run With Us has been covered quite a few times by a few people as well.
I don't know the Raccoons. That was not an American thing as far as at least where I was living.
It's weird. We got a lot of imports from like, the US and Canada in the UK. So I suppose, yeah, it's a strange one. I recommend checking out the, for pure kind of, well, I say nostalgia, but it's like, it makes me feel nostalgic for that time purely on the basis of how 80s it actually is, the music video. It's on, YouTube. I definitely recommend checking it out, but it's just like a nice, just ridiculous, upbeat, kind of pop song from the time. And, the other one was, just someone who I've been thinking a lot about recently, who passed away, I think back in 2019, but it's one of those guys who had such a big career and he hasn't, like, there's no book about him. There's no documentary. Ken Nordin.
Okay. Well, I would say what's Ken Nordin doing right now is not a whole lot. I don't know. He's no longer with us. And Lisa Loheen, I think she's probably watching an episode of The Raccoons.
I do wonder. It's kind of like, it's sort of, yeah, a lot of, I suppose both my choices are kind of very retrospective in that respect. I mean, I did have one more, which is Russ Tamblyn, but, he's vaguely active on Twitter, and, it's kind of a joy every week he kind of posts, he posts something on Twitter about, like, he just says, let it rip, like, lets everyone ask a question about his career. And, that's a nice thing to see as well, I suppose. But,
I think right now, Russ Tamblyn is probably looking on eBay, seeing if he can find, a set of, vintage, Corningware.
He always sort of, seems to put out a message saying the moon is strange tonight. Ask me a question. It's kind of a very sort of coded, strange coded message. It sounds pretty peaceful, I suppose. But
now let me ask you something. When you were growing up in England, right? What was a thing that came over? There was an import that hit your shores from America that you were like, it made you think something about the USA that you realized later was a complete myth?
Oh, it's a great question.
Yeah, that's why I asked it. I'm going to ask some bad question. Come on, George. It's Tom.
We used to get a ton of shows, on Channel 4. It was always like something that would come up, like Channel 4, which is when we had literally only four TV channels, back in like the early 90s. And I think my first exposure to an American sitcom, because that was kind of like what I grew up on, like when I was like 6, 7 years old, was Herman's Head. And that kind of seemed like the big thing at the time, but obviously kind of, it's not something you hear about anymore. It's not something that's out on DVD or anything, and that was double billed with Kids in the Hall, which did stick with me a lot longer, but I know that's Canadian, but But like in terms of US, like my first kind of thing was like, yeah, late
Herman's night. Head. Herman's Head was your exposure to the United States.
Yeah, six, seven.
And this was Herman's Head was a show that basically, I mean, the title kind of says it all. It took place in the guy named Herman's Head, and everybody in his head was a little was like, ah, we're all arguing over stuff. Is that right? Isn't that what it was like?
That's the one. Yeah, it was like, and every time he had a crisis, like four people would appear who were in his head, I think.
And they would debate actions and whatnot, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, yeah, and I think many years later, it was only triggered by like a Mr. Show sketch, like years later, that kind of had a similar thing to it, and that kind of suddenly brought everything back. But yeah, that was the first one. And also Teen Angel with Jason Priestley.
We were getting some weird shows. We're telling a different story about America. Those were shows that we wanted nothing to do with here. And they're getting sent over. You think it's the cream of the crop.
Yeah, they send them all over here because no one wants them over there, I guess.
We're hoping they're your problem now. Who's the funniest person in England, George?
At the moment, living. It's you know what? It's really hard to say. We're really limited on. In recent years, like really limited on like good like solid sitcoms and like comedy shows over here. Just in the last, because we rely a lot on panel shows. Really, like there's not it. You tend to get a lot of like panel shows where like comedians crop up on the circuit, but they don't like go any further. Like they don't appear in like a long standing show or, great question.
Don't worry, George. You're doing great. All right. Well, don't worry about that. Let me ask you a question. You watch these British cooking competition shows, right? Everybody there's forced to watch all those shows, right?
Oh, the bake-offs and
What's the fascination? Why the awful ingredients and everything in every kind of dessert over there? Why? What's the rush? It's like, oh, we're making a little cake, and then it's going to have parsnips and orange in it, mixed with chocolate and turmeric, like.
Yeah.
Wait, you can't just make a nice chocolate cake?
Yeah. I completely agree. I've never really got the appeal of like the baking shows here. It's bizarre to me. I think the most interest I have was when they bought like people like John Lithgow came over and did like the Bake Off, and that was like vaguely interesting because you know you might maybe do a bit from I was going to say 30 Rock, I mean 30 Rock from the Sun, although he was in that as well with at one point, I don't get it. It's like they seem to want to experiment with everything. When Big Brother started over here, it was like an experiment, and it's the same with cooking shows. Now it's just like exploitation. See how far we can go, and like. Mix the strangest things to get the best reactions or the worst reactions, I guess.
Because look, not unlike the way you thought America was nothing but episodes of Herman's Head and Teen Angel. I watch these shows, and I think there must be this country must be operating off of an economy based on gingerbread.
Yeah. Yeah,
I've never seen more gingerbread-based solutions to everything than on that show.
They're hopped up on gingerbread. Yeah, how many cakes are there? I mean, like mix things up a bit, you know, make different breads or something. Just try, you know, like yeah, the cakes they do. I don't understand why it's always about cakes. I mean, I know it's a bake-off, but baking doesn't have to be applied purely for cakes.
And look, it could just be cakes. It could be cakes all the live long day. Why does everything have to be gingerbread?
I think, our cuisine isn't isn't particularly popular all round. So I think they must have just like found something that and stuck to it, unfortunately.
When's the last time you had gingerbread?
I for me, it's a seasonal thing. And even though like, I don't think I had it last year, but like gingerbread I associate with, like gingerbread men from like Christmas. Mm-hmm. So at the very best, I would maybe have it like once a year, like maybe kind of, cause you think warming and you think kind of like it's kind of, cause it's got that kind of little bit of a kick and it's, yeah.
I feel like I'm listening to Paul Hollywood up in this piece. Got a little kick to it. It's good.
It's rather nice for me.
Good flavor.
Yes.
Good flavor. A little kick to it.
He's got his own bread, Paul Hollywood. You can buy loaves of Paul Hollywood bread now in the supermarkets here.
That sounds delicious.
Yeah. Hopefully it's just by name rather than like, oh, here's a clip of hair or something attached to the bread. Or
yeah, whatever. I would hope it doesn't have any of his beard hair in it. Yes, you're right. I agree. Well, my friend, thank you for the call. You have a grand evening.
Thanks, Tom.
Pat, any other calls?
You're on with line one.
Best show, hi.
Hi, this is Jonah, 10 out of 10.
That's right. How are you?
I'm doing better now, Tom, since I'm listening to the best show.
This was a caller who really brought the goods the last time you called. The last time they called, they were on fire and made it happen. And now you're back again. Jonah, 10 out of 10, I said to say the next time you called, just to declare what you're all about. What's going on, my friend?
Well, Tom, first, I got a story to tell you. So, I had a meeting with my boss on Friday. It was a little bit of a contentious meeting. And can you guess which Winnie the Pooh character she compared me to?
Eeyore.
You're absolutely correct.
That's well,
in my real life.
Were we talking to the same person?
I don't think she's not in showbiz, so I don't think so.
I don't know if this person's in showbiz either. They might work on a TV show. Don't mean they're in showbiz. I'm not bringing a whole lot of entertainment. I look at the stuff this writer worked on. Ay. Not so hot, but I'm the one giving off because I had a meeting for people, the uninitiated. I was telling the listeners a while ago, I had a meeting and, the potential showrunner, said to me that I was giving off an Eeyore vibe, which first of all is not accurate. I'm much closer to what you call it, the tiger, Tigger the Tiger, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm closer to Tigger the Tiger. Maybe you're more of an Eeyore. I don't know. I don't know, Jonah. But I'm a fun sort. I ain't no Eeyore. And even if I was, you don't say that to somebody. Well, how did it feel? Didn't feel so good, did it?
No, it didn't feel good. I have, I have clinical diagnoses, so it's not fun to be called that. It's a little stigmatizing, Tom.
Mm-hmm. So what are you going to do? You're going to take, you should take them to court for every, take them for everything they got.
I have a mental health degree, so I sat down with her and kind of tried to explain to her
mm-hmm.
how that works and why not that it'd be the best thing to call somebody in a professional meeting.
Mm-hmm. And how did that go over?
She actually listened to me and apologized. So.
Oh, that's nice. And was this a job interview or a meeting at work?
No, I have monthly meetings with my boss just to kind of check up what's going on, follow up on projects, stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's not so cool. Get called Eeyore, give off an Eeyore vibe. I'm going to even that score. Who on the staff, Best Show staff, is keeping track of the scores I got to settle? Who's keeping track? One of you is supposed to be keeping track.
I'm guessing Mike knows.
Yeah. Mike.
I'm a stat guy.
Stat, write this down on the thing. Put just the initial J on it. I know who that is. Put JB. And then put in parentheses E or vibe. It's another score I got to settle. I got more scores going here than the Gettysburg Address. No, I gotta figure some of this stuff out. I got too many. I'm having a good time. I'm having a grand old time, having fun, getting my business done. But they say something like that. They say you're giving off an Eeyore vibe. It puts you right in a, that makes you curl up in a ball.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I'm doing. That's what I did. Eeyore vibe. How dare you? I've seen some of the things that this person's written. Not so hot. Not so hot. I'm the writer. I'm the bleeping writer of, Grown Ups 3. What the bleep has she ever written? I mean, I've seen some of the things. They're one's worse than the next. Call me Eeyore vibe. I'll even that score, but I'll even it through positivity and through, cause you know what they say is that if you have a poison, I don't even know what it is. Poison. Maybe something about the band Poison. Every rose has its thorn. Every rose has its thorn. I love it. I love Poison. How many members of Poison can you name? I can name three. Bret Michaels, Ricky Rocket, and CC DeVille.
And you're leaving out Bobby Dahl.
Well, I'm not leaving him out. I did not remember.
Have you ever seen Poison live?
I have not.
I saw them every summer
uh-huh.
from 2000 to 2005.
Okay, I'm sorry. What, did you keep losing a bet or something?
No. They toured every summer, and in radio, I got tickets every single time.
You know, there's a funny thing. It's like Jerry West, one of the legendary players in the history of the NBA, said that he can see, to me, he said this when I interviewed him one time, he said that he's watched so much basketball that he can see, he knows if there's a play happening, he can generally figure out what's going to happen two plays from now. And I feel like I can generally figure out what's going to happen two plays from now on this discussion. I see basically we end up with Mike saying to Jason, well, why aren't we getting somebody from Poison on the show if you know everybody?
I never said I knew Poison.
That's where we're heading though. Just for Mike to go like, oh, if you're so tight with the guys from Poison, Mr. Fancy Radio, why don't you get the guys from Poison on the show?
Yeah, why are you dragging your feet?
Oh, there it is. But meanwhile, my, I don't even know who Mike's trying to get on. Who are you working on, Mike?
Recently, Lenny Dykstra.
Mm-hmm.
I think that was the last one. I've had a dry spell.
It's got to be Richard Karn or above, Mike.
Who?
Richard Karn.
Who's Richard Karn?
That was the rules we set a couple of weeks ago.
He was Richard Karn was the sidekick on Home Improvement.
Oh, I never watched one episode of that show.
Yeah, me neither, but I know who he was. Look, Mike, I'll say this.
Is that the guy behind the fence?
No, that's Wilson.
That's Wilson. He died.
Sorry.
Imagine this is the reality of a show. Oh, there's some guy behind a fence and you only see the top half of his face. What do you think? He's going to have four mouths when you finally see the bottom? What did everybody think was brewing on the lower half of that fence?
Did they show him in the last episode? Was that the big finale?
They did, yeah.
Oh, they did? Oh, wow.
Imagine what a thrill that was.
Yeah.
oh my God, he had a mouth the whole time and a chin. Can you believe the lower part of his face completed his face? Ay, 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 the stuff people fall for. That and then that other show, Nerd, what is it called? Nerds on Patrol, the one where the Sheldon, what was that show called?
Big Bang Theory.
Big Bang Theory. And they were like, oh, the elevator's broken. And then I watched four episodes of that thing. I was like, yeah, final episode of this show, they fixed the elevator. And is that what happened?
I think so. Yeah.
Of course it did. I would bet everything. Yeah. And that's that show that the guy writes the Unabomber type things at the end of. Right? Those screeds. He releases like a screed at the end of every one. I think we're going to have to add, you're going to add all those up and realize he initiated the Capitol riots. He had been cultivating people for years with his Big Bang Theory and mom, end cards.
Why does Chuck Lorre keep bringing up January 6th?
Yeah. Chuck Lorre. Great guy. 2.5 Men. I don't believe I was the first one to think this by any stretch, but it's just like you watch that show and it seems like the type of show that would be in a movie trying to show how awful the culture is. Like it seems so crass and gross that it seems fake. Like there's no show that could actually be that crass and gross. And then it just seems like it would be like some kind of thing that some egghead would be putting the culture down and have that. And then, but that was a real show. But he was fun on it. Charlie Sheen was fun on it. I gotta go on a date. I got a hot date. And I think we just passed that. I did the voice for two sentences and I blew out my throat for the night. I think we just hit the 10th anniversary of when he went on his little escapade when he was saying winning all the time and tiger blood and all that stuff. And then it culminated in him playing Radio City Music Hall. Radio City Music Hall. Think about all the shows that have been there. It's like, oh yeah, all these shows have been here. And what's going on tonight? Oh yeah, you ever see Major League? Yeah. Remember that pitcher who had the horn-rimmed glasses? Uh-huh. Well, he's going to be on stage tonight. Doing what? Oh, melting down. And, are there any tickets available? Oh, no, that's sold out. Not an empty seat in the house. What a weird world. This is a weird, sick world.
Is that what he did, though? He didn't do any stand-up or anything? He just went out and said all of his catchphrases?
I don't know. I wasn't there.
I figured you would have gone.
I didn't. Why you figured I would have gone?
It's a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity.
Just, well, why didn't you go?
I don't know. I didn't know about it.
Got all the free tickets.
You didn't
just
know
for poison. About. Just for poison.
Just for poison.
Yeah. You ain't getting free radio tickets for that? Charlie Sheen didn't do a tertiary market, show up in West Virginia. How long am I on the road for? Yeah, you're doing West Virginia now. Yeah, that was a great stretch. What else we got going on? What's up, my friend?
I had a couple. Well, I had a couple for the topic, and I think I can solve the sort of for one of the people from the little picture you guys sent out.
Okay, let's hear what you... Wait, what is the little thing? Go ahead.
He had the picture. It was like Michael Gross and Bananarama, somebody else. And I think I know what Michael Gross is doing, the dad from Family Ties.
Yeah, what's he doing?
Well, he's really into like Lionel trains. So I bet he just spent all quarantine building like a giant Bobby Bacala style train set for himself and just playing with that all night.
Yeah. I would picture him wearing a little choo-choo cap and he's having a meltdown tonight because one of those little weird choo-choo train shrubs is too close to the track and then it's making the train not run correctly. Look, I love those choo-choo train guys, and I wish I was into that stuff. That'd be the greatest way to meet Neil Young. Just get into like those trains and then be like, you meet him and act like you don't know who he is. What? You can meet him at a things like, he's like, oh yeah, I'm here. I'm looking for some train stuff. And you're just like, yeah, I like the trains too. And he's waiting for you to start talking about Zuma. And then you never do it. He's talking about the trains. And then he's like, yeah, I met a guy at the hobby shop. And, he's going to come over and check my trains out. And then Daryl Hannah's like, are you sure? This sounds like another weird fan coming by. He's like, no, this guy didn't even know who I was. He had no idea. I talked to him for 45 minutes. He never even mentioned. I said my name was Neil and he didn't even, there was no spark or recognition. Then you get in his house, you're watching the trains. Then you go, you say, can I use the washroom? You say washroom because he's Canadian and he'll show you where that's what they call the turlet up there, the washroom. And then you go, you come out of the bathroom, the washroom, you go, boom, tonight's the night. Boo doo doo doo, tonight's the night. Tonight. And he's like, oh, damn it. You knew who I was. Then I just go, no, I saw a thing that you had Tonight's the Night on a thing. I love that song. I don't even know who does it. Like now you're messing with him. And now he's like, you don't know that's me. It's like, that's not you. Stop it. You're the greatest laugher that has ever called this show. And, Jonah, I'm going to say this.
Yeah.
11 out of 10 for you.
Oh, Tom.
11 out of 10. You laugh. Look, some people say guys like you are, bro, you're bringing it down by larfing too much. What are you supposed to do? Be stone faced? You figured it. You got the answer. You got the key to life. You're laughing it up. You're having a good time. You're doing it right.
Thank you, Tom.
So what else you got for me, buddy?
Gina Shock from the Go-Go's.
The drummer from the Go-Go's. I would picture she is probably researching when the movie Dune, whether it will be theatrically released or only on HBO Max. She's surfing the web tonight trying to figure out.
She's got one of those accents that the artist from Michigan last week called in and complained about, kind of. One of those strongly Western accents that he dislikes so much.
You mean the artist Eric White who called?
Yes. Yes.
You got to look at his art. Have you seen his art? He's so good.
I'll have to check it out tonight.
I'm going to buy a big painting of his. probably cost $1 million. I don't know, that kind of scratch.
I have one last quick one, and I want to dedicate this one to Damien from F'd Up because it's kind of an obscure, not sort of obscure hardcore one.
All right. Our friend Damien from the band F'd Up and also from the amazing podcast Turned Out a Punk. Great guy. What do you have?
So John Weifenbach from Void, he kind of disappeared after Void put out all their records, you know, like the Void Faith split on Discord.
Kind of weird. Is the Void Faith split? I mean, the Faith Void split? Come on, Jonah. You're back down to 10 out of 10. You're 10 of 10. You just lost a point because you said Void Faith.
I was talking about this singer, so sorry.
No, I got you. I got you.
Record over either way.
No, you're good. You're good. I'm with you. So, well, you want to know what the guy from Void is doing?
Yeah, I would love to know.
I bet he's probably looking on Etsy to see if there's any, bootleg Faith Void merch and reporting it for terms of service. Dear sir, I notice you're selling a magnet depicting the album cover of the Faith Void split. Not Void Faith split, as some have incorrectly called it. This is a licensed, copyrighted image. You do not hold permission to sell merchandise. Please cease and desist, or we will be forced to pursue more extreme legal ramifications regarding this matter. Man, I've never laughed the way you're laughing right now, once in my life. Where's my me? Where's my me? Who makes me laugh that way? Used to be Hollywood Handbook, then they kicked me off the show. Kicked me off. Can you believe it? Kicked me off the show. And I usually don't talk about stuff like this, but kicked me off the show, said I just was a part of the previous iteration of the show and that they were looking to grow. Tonight's the night. Boo-doo-doo-doo. Right? Then you go over to the train set, you flip the table, you go, David Crosby rules, and you run out. Oh, now I got a new love. Hear that, Mike? Hear that, Mike? Hear the joy I'm bringing this guy?
Yeah, when he takes it up a notch, though, it sounds fake.
It sounds like he got hit by Joker gas.
He ain't getting hit by Joker gas.
He's Jason. About ready to fall out of a chair.
Look.
Well, I've been listening to the so far, and so I'm happy that I even get that joke. I would not have gotten that joke before listening. So part of that is the joy of even getting that joke. I would not have gotten it before.
I want to quiz you, Jonah. How closely do you listen to The Best Show? Pretty closely?
Every week.
How many times, well, here's a trivia question. How many times did a young Jason Dudio Gore see the original Batman in theaters?
It was either 80, I'm going to say 86.
No, that's insane.
It wasn't 86. It was 39.
38.
Oh, okay.
39 for the new Batman film. I'll go see
the
that.
New 30. One.
Yeah. There's a rumor that Keaton's going to do another one. Not confirmed, but if he does another one, I'm going to go see it 39
He's
times.
He's not doing another Batman movie.
He's the new Batman in the DC Extended Universe.
Wait, what do you mean?
He's in The Flash as Batman.
Yeah, he's in The Flash for 5 minutes. He's going to be in it.
Right, but he signed on for multiple films.
Okay. So you really think that guy's going to be out? I'm wary of this. I don't want him getting hurt like Harrison Ford. Only if he wants to be there do I want Michael Keaton in those movies.
Get his leg caught in the Batman.
Alfred. Who's going to play Alfred in them?
Yeah, they'd have to have a new one.
They got to get a new Alfred, right? Because they can't get... Because Michael Caine is always the Alfred in the ones with the Christopher Nolan ones. Michael Caine is the Alfred in those. And then what's-his-face is in the other ones, Jeremy Irons.
Yeah.
Well, who would be a good Alfred then? Let's think. Who'd be a good Alfred?
Michael Douglas.
So we go with an American Alfred.
Yeah, I mean, he could do the accent if he wants.
Okay.
Yeah, Bill Nye.
Bill Nye?
Yeah, oh, so, not the science guy, but Nye.
Oh, okay. I thought you were saying Bill Nye the science guy. I say we might as well just go with Guy Fieri then while we're at it if we're just doing reality shows.
Cake Boss.
That guy is also Bill Nye the science guy. Let's see the credentials. That's all I say to that guy. Let's see the credentials. Let's see that diploma. Right? Probably a University of Phoenix, and Phoenix isn't even spelled correctly. University of Phoenix.
This caller is truly your Scorsese.
This is, Pat, you summon a bitch.
Yep.
And now Mike likes that because I said something, somewhat racy. I'm surprised that it triggered the enjoying the new freedom tweet. I'm like Jerry West. I see the moves before they happen. You're saying I'm like Fran Lebowitz and this guy's like Martin Scorsese laughing it up at everything I say. Fair enough. I'll take it. I'll take the hit.
I thought that's why you liked him. I thought that was an established.
Nah, I like him because he's fun. He's having a good time. I just like his spirit.
Well, and I also want to say, I'm also a fan of everyone else on the show. I love.
Oh, take it easy with this now.
No, more.
All right. No. There are limits to this.
Keep going, Jonah.
Hawk is great. I love the Hawk. I listen to the Hawk.
Thank you very much.
Mike on Broadway might be one of the greatest works of art of the 21st century.
All right. Now this guy is out of his mind. Jonah 2 out of 10. That's your new thing.
Falling out of the chair.
Mike on Broadway is one of the greatest works of art of the 21st century. Is that what you just said?
I love it. That last line, that last line is so perfect. To me, I love it. Maybe I'm being a bit hyperbolic, but I do think it does not get enough credit for how great it is.
Mike isn't even unmuting his mic. He's just like, more.
Yeah.
The essay he wrote for the box, that was really good too.
Thank you.
I love, my memory's messed. The show he did on WFMU was tremendous too.
Sure. Depravity's Rainbow. Now, what about, you didn't say anything about Pat? You didn't say anything about Pat's rock group?
No, that's what I'm saying. Pat's WFMU show. Was it Proven?
Oh.
That was the name of the show, right? Yeah.
Prove It All Night.
It was Price It All Nice.
I love it. I love that this guy, he didn't know, he doesn't know They Live, though.
They Live.
I know. I've never seen them, but I know that it's a band. I know. I was just looking at his stories about when he was playing the band. He had the sunglasses on.
Where are you living these days, Jonah?
I'm living out in the suburbs of Chicago.
Okay. Good to know. All right, my friend, you did great tonight.
Thank you.
I'm putting you back up to 10 out of 10.
been a roller coaster ride tonight, Tom.
It really has. It's really quite the adventure. All right. Thanks for the call, buddy.
Take care of yourself, Tom. Everyone else.
You take care of yourself, Jonah. 10 out of 10. How do you like that, Mike? When the premier works of art of the 21st century, you are responsible for.
Yeah.
That's high praise.
Yeah. It's very nice of him.
Then that's a thing. You sound sad. What's wrong?
No, I was just thinking about the, can we revisit the Oreo versus Chips Ahoy thing?
Yeah, sure.
I love you're getting so much praise. You said nothing. Your mic, I've been watching your mic on Zoom the whole time. It went off mute once, went right back on.
I know
on
where
mute.
This is going because I just opened my own Twitter and at the very, very top posted 1 hour ago, AP Mike, chewy cookies are garbage.
Well, that goes without saying. But I wanted to talk about the Oreo versus Chips Ahoy. And the thing is, Chips Ahoy years ago was pretty bad. I mean, I think they've cooked the cookies a little crisper now, so they're not as crumbly. You remember when Chips Ahoy were kind of, they fall apart in your hands pretty much? They were kind of soft. Now they're kind of hard. And what I do to make it on par, straight up, Oreos are better than Chips Ahoy. But what I do, because the cookie's so hard now, you can put a little dab of peanut butter on them. And it brings it up to the level of an Oreo.
So you're putting peanut butter on a Chips Ahoy?
Yeah, a little peanut butter. You know, don't go nuts. You know, just
like
a little peanut
butter.
You would
do with a dog. You put some peanut butter on like a...
Well, yeah.
What are you trying? Is somebody trying to give you a pill, Mike?
Yeah. Like, are you making a sandwich out of them? So two chips.
Well, I don't do that, but you could do that. I think, you know, if you wanted to. I haven't experimented with that.
Well, then what about this as a how do you do, Mike? What if you put some chocolate chips and a Nutter Butter?
No, not my thing.
Well, it's the same thing.
See, I'm not even with you on the double stuff. Double stuff is too much. I think that ruins the cookie.
All right.
I love a chewy cookie. I think you're wrong. Fresh out of the oven, chewy is great.
I said
soft batch.
I said Entenmann's were acceptable.
Entenmann's chocolate chip cookies are outstanding.
Yeah, they are
good. Way better than Chips Ahoy.
But if you get those Pepperidge Farm cookies, the chewy the chewy versions are horrible.
Yeah, but that's like processed chewy. Like, you know, I'll say like the chewy Chips Ahoy, I thought. Were better than the regular Chips Ahoy, but even that's like a factory, you know, processed ingredient chewy. But like, if you go to like a farmer's market or if somebody made like a fresh batch of cookies at someone's house, like,
that's going to be better, pal.
Well, no, yeah, I said that homemade is a whole other category. I mean, I thought we were talking about the junkie.
Well, according to your tweet, chewy cookies are garbage.
Yeah. I'm talking about the store-bought ones.
Yeah, he's talking about grocery.
Look, the only way I'm buying a Pepperidge Farm is if I'm that's at this point, Pepperidge Farm has been reduced to like, that's like CVS cookie. That's what you buy at a CVS.
Yeah, Rite Aid. I get them at Rite Aid.
Yeah, a Rite Aid or a Rite Aid where you're just like, well, it's either this or some weird thing of banana bread, some weird single serve thing of banana bread, that one weird off market thing that's been sitting on counters for the last 20 years.
And they get sweaty in the cellophane, right?
Yeah, they do. That's it. Mike, we're on the same page. They get sweaty.
Pepperidge Farm cookies.
You see the sweat in there. Yeah.
Pepperidge Farm, it's just like, that's like a gas station or a CVS.
Yeah, but like the hard version of Pepperidge Farms are good. Like a Chessmen or a Milano.
Yeah,
Milano. That's a fancy cookie.
Chessmen are great.
Yeah, and Milano.
The Chesapeake.
Excuse me, Donald Trump. What's going on there with the Milano cookie? Somebody's living the good life.
A little too dusty for me.
I even like those old people cookies that have like the jam in the middle. What are those?
I think they're literally just called old people cookies.
They're called on the package.
Old yeah, with jam in the middle.
What are
my mom would get Milano and she would not share them with me as a child. I would be like, hey, can I have one? And she just would not give me one.
Well, they are adult cookies.
They're very adult cookies.
Remember those things, those Stella Doro things?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
There was like Stella Doro where they're like, these are like, well, Peak Freen was this brand where the commercial was literally saying these are like adult cookies.
Well, Stella,
remember that?
Yeah. Stella Doro does have that little chocolate cookie. What I don't even know what they're called with the like sort of drop of chocolate in the middle. Those are pretty good.
Stella Doro, the only way that makes me feel like I'm at a wake. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like yeah. That's the only place I've ever eaten like Stella Doro cookies when you're at like you're at somebody's house after a wake and they're just like, yeah, we're just getting together for a while at the house. You can come by. We got cookies. And it's like, I haven't seen these in a while.
Or those blue tins of the Danish butter cookies. I would always see those.
Yeah, those are good. Those are good. Those are good those cookies. Are good. But they're not the kind of thing you would ever buy for yourself.
No. They're always gifted.
Stella Doro, I thought you had to dunk those. Aren't those dunking tea or coffee or?
Mike, they're all, you could dunk any cookie.
Yeah,
you want.
That's true.
But like I would say, but I, almost like they're inedible if you don't dunk them is what you're saying though.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Let's put some peanut butter on it, Mike.
Now, I don't even think peanut butter could save a Stella Doro.
This is the rest of the show.
That should be in there. That should be a t-shirt. Not even peanut butter can save a Stella Doro. Yeah, I gotta just say, I like to think that I'm my own person and that I don't fall for marketing, but I am as susceptible as marketing anybody on the planet. I fall for anything. I remember seeing a thing where it's like a year or two ago, there was like the chicken sandwich wars where it's like, oh, Popeyes has a chicken sandwich that is supposed to rival the Chick-fil-A. When look, I don't eat chicken, so I don't know. But I saw it. I was like, that's the dumbest thing I ever saw in my life. Chicken sandwich wars. And then all it takes is for me to see one thing saying like, oh yeah, Popeyes is doing a fish sandwich the way they're doing the chicken sandwich. I'm like, well, I got to check that out. I order this thing and I'm eating it. I'm like, this is amazing. This thing's so good. And it was so, I had like such a, they might as well include a thing of Prilosec with these things. Is that what the stuff is? Zantac? Prilosec? What is it? Are they all the same thing?
Yeah.
Cause, they might as well just call it a GERD sandwich.
Yeah. You got a little backup. Backup?
Yeah, I was sick. I was sick for a day and a half.
Sunday night, I was in a Popeyes drive-through, and I got the chicken sandwich. And
sounds like the worst Bruce Springsteen song. Oh, late on Friday night, I was at the Popeyes drive-through trying to get my fill.
I literally was.
And then the chicken man, that would literally be the chicken man from Atlantic City would be. And then the chicken man was on the speakerphone. Chicken man was on the speaker. The chicken man's son was on the speaker, took my order.
This is the origin. Yeah. No, but yeah. I was parked facing the Popeyes and I was eating and I saw the banner for the fish sandwich and I literally thought of you, Tom. I was like,
oh, that's great.
I was maybe like, oh, there's a fish sandwich here. I wonder if Tom's going to go to Popeyes.
You definitely talk about knowing two moves ahead on that one. Is there a podcast where I review fish sandwiches?
I think so.
Yeah.
I'm serious. It's called Ahoy.
That's a Patreon exclusive, I think.
Yes.
Not even with Tom Sharpling. No,
it's just called Ahoy. Ahoy. And it's me. Well, I think this has to happen now.
Yeah.
If I just go to every fast food place and review their fish sandwich.
Can we talk about your GERD, Tom? Because I'm familiar with GERD.
Oh, yeah, I barely ever have. I haven't had it in years. Right. Until I tasted that fish sandwich. I was like, oh, here's a blast from the past.
No, but you said it was good at first, right?
Oh, it's good, yeah.
Yeah,
good,
yeah.
To GERD.
I think
off good, ended up GERD.
But I'm thinking, because you're so conditioned to the inferior McDonald's fish sandwich.
Well, it's not inferior.
That you
Mike, overweight. You're going to just have to listen to Ahoy to see what I think about it.
But you overwhelmed your stomach with a good fish sandwich for a change, and it couldn't handle it. But I think
it couldn't handle it.
But I think that, you know, maybe going forward, you get used to it and can enjoy it.
Do you
think, Mike? It sounds like somebody's lobbying to be the producer of Ahoy.
Do you think the difference is that on the fillet of fish, you have a little bit more of a protective cheese base?
This is what I'm going to say right now. If we go from the best show account, if you tweet the following out from it, because I don't have access to that account. They will not give me access to it.
Here we go.
If you would want to hear Tom do a show called Ahoy, in which he reviews fast food fish sandwiches,
Ahoy.
Like retweet if you want to hear it. And if there are 1,000 retweets, I will do the show Ahoy.
Put Ahoy in caps with an exclamation point.
Oh, it's all in caps.
All right, but an exclamation point.
I love when these guys, it's when these guys give notes to each other.
You're like, no, Pat, I know how to do this.
Because they each get annoyed at the other one, and then it's just their turn. And then eventually it will be their turn to be the one doing the annoying. Like where Jason will be like, try potting that down a little bit. And then Pat's like, you... bleepity bleep. And then, but then an hour later, Pat's like, yeah, do that all in caps. And Jason's like, yeah, I'm good. It's all in caps. So of course everybody knows the playbook. If you would want to hear Tom do a show called Ahoy, in which he reviews fast food fish sandwiches, retweet. If you want to hear this, 1,000 retweets in the show is real. There you go. I like it.
Okay. 9 retweets.
Make sure you pin it.
Shut up.
Make sure you pin it. There you go. I love it. I like,
okay. I'm pinning it.
Like if I was like, make sure you pin it, Jason would be like, oh yeah, great idea. I'll pin it.
Exactly.
Pat, make sure you pin it. Yeah, I know I'm going to pin it. Okay.
Shut up.
I know how to pin things. I know how to pin it. All right.
14 retweets, 18 retweets.
All right, what are we going to count as we go up to 1,000?
I'll give you an update as we go.
That's the rest of the show is monitoring the tweets.
What if I get more on my retweet?
That's not going to happen.
On the chips or anything?
Yeah. Ahoy.
Ahoy.
God help me. I'm going to be doing a fish fillet a podcast. Ahoy.
Who else has sandwiches? So you've got Popeyes.
Burger King. McDonald's. Burger King, Popeyes.
Is Wendy's?
Wendy's?
Wendy's has a season. See, the thing is all these fast food places do fish sandwiches before Easter. Cause I guess on Friday you can't have fish. This is the thing I don't understand. It's like, you can't sell that thing year round.
So according to a fast food website, Wendy's fish sandwich is coming to a menu near you on February 15th, 2021. So. Okay. The crispy panko fish sandwich is at Wendy's.
Oh, my gosh. Sounds gross.
Well, take it easy, Pat. I got to review these stupid things.
Does Jack in the Box have one?
Jack in the Box does have one.
What about Long John Silver's?
I don't, Yeah, no, they do a sandwich. Yeah.
Yeah.
I believe Nathan's has a fish sandwich.
Great. Nathan's fish sandwich.
I can't even imagine.
Yikes.
Yeah.
That's bad news.
Nathan's, KFC might? I don't know.
Checkers?
Checkers, I would say.
Checkers does. Yeah.
Or Rallies. I don't know what's out in California.
Checkers. Could you imagine finding a Checkers?
Carl's Jr.
Look, we'll figure out all the fish sandwiches if this thing gets to 1,000.
White Castle has one too, I think.
White Castle has fish sandwiches, very good too.
Yeah.
I like the White Castle. Well, look, I don't want to give the show away yet. So what do we got? Who do we got on the line, Pat? Anybody?
Yes, I have an old friend of yours on line 2.
Hello, best show.
Tragedy.
To whom am I? I think I know who this is, but I'm not 100% sure. I'm gonna guess. Hold on. I'm sensing Baccarat. I'm sensing Baccarat. I'm sensing all you can eat buffets. I'm picking up on Chris Angel and. It's BB.
It is.
How are you?
I'm good, fella. How you doing?
I'm good from Las Vegas, BB. It's so good to hear from you. I haven't heard from you in a long time. How are you? How are you feeling these days?
I haven't got any complaints.
Good.
Any real import. Everything is way cool.
That's all I want to hear. You're doing okay. So all we can do. Now, are you worried that I'm going to host a show called Ahoy?
Yeah, I'm wondering about that. Because you could, in Spanish, it would be Ahoy. Or if it was Ahoy today, in Spanish, it would be Ahoy, Ahoy.
So I should call it Ahoy, Ahoy?
Yeah. Or Ahoy Today. Yeah, that would be nice and redundant. That would be
Ahoy
like
Today. What do I got to do? It's a daily show now?
Until Lent. Until Lent is over.
Until Lent is over. Ahoy. Ay, ay, ay.
I have a pre-COVID tale for you.
You have a what?
Pre-COVID tale for you.
A pre-COVID tale. Let's hear the pre-COVID tale.
You ever hear a place called Puglia? It's in Little Italy.
No. What is that?
I think they shot a scene for Big Daddy in there with Adam Sandler and Joey Lauren Adams.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the guy comes around with the accordion singing the
break. Oh, okay. Sure.
Restaurant in Little Italy, and I was invited to a birthday party there with some people like the old Buffalo Riders Mafia. My girlfriend Jean, her birthday is like in the January 8th. She said, "We got a table, beer and wine will flow." This place had it was full of suburban meatheads, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it had the atmosphere of a grade school cafeteria. It was super loud. And Jorge, the guy with the accordion, he's there and he's leading everybody in song. And I had to go to the lab eventually. I'd taken a train up from Philly, and I see this table full of meatheads, and they've all taken their table napkins and tied knots in the corners and put it on their heads. This is just what they do there. Everybody takes the table napkins and makes hats out of them.
Okay.
And sing along to this guy super loud. And I said to my girlfriend, Andrea, I said, "You want to see the meaning of power?" And I got up, walked past this table with these goofballs singing, "There she was just walking down the street."
Mm-hmm.
And the whole place erupted. The whole restaurant erupted into what did he?
It's like a movie.
It was you know, it's just one of those things like dumb luck. I just saw everything line up. It was like a bowling alley, and they were just lining up, and I saw the strike zone, and I let it rip.
You let it rip. I even picture that one. You rolled that one, even with like the lane was like, had the polish on it where the ball, they got to spin it at that angle to get it to go. And the ball does that curve, and then it slides in and knocks all the pins down. That's what you were doing with that one.
Absolutely.
Oh, that's.
And when I went back home, I actually went through Jersey City, picked up a six pack, at some bar near the train station. I was looking for the tube bar, actually.
You didn't find the tube bar?
No. No, but I got the very last train that made it all the way back to Philly, like you'd change in Trenton.
Mm-hmm. So you went Jersey City to Trenton on the train?
Yep. And then crossed over, got on the SEPTA train, and back to Market East.
I love it. Those are the days, huh, baby?
Yeah. You could walk around without crap happen to you.
Yeah. So what was the, when you, back in the day on the scene, who were your favorite bands back then? What band did you see more than any other band? How about that?
Glass Eye from Austin, Texas.
You saw Glass Eye a lot. Yeah, they were. They were the band that was, were they managed by Jeff Tartikoff? Daniel Johnston's manager?
That could very well be.
I think they might have been. I can't write. I may be right. I may be right. I may be crazy. That's the only good thing about the pandemic is that Billy Joel stopped doing those shows.
Mm-hmm. Too many people crammed in there hearing the same thing year after year.
Friday night, I crashed your party. Saturday, I said I'm sorry.
His meltdowns are exceptional.
What's that?
His meltdowns are exceptional.
Yeah, when he's like, turn off the lights, or whatever he's yelling, stop it. Now, can I ask you a question, baby? You know music a whole lot. You know that Elton John song where he's like, if I was a what is it? If I was a painter, but then again, no, what is it? If I was a sculptor, what does he say? But then he goes, or a man painting pictures in a traveling show. What job is that?
No, it's selling potions, you know, like a snake oil salesman.
He's selling potions in a traveling. So he's a, see, that's why I asked you. I knew you'd know.
He's a grifter.
He's exactly. An old medicine show ripping off the rubes.
Absolutely.
With the snake oil. But he knows that's not an actual contemporary job at that point, right?
No. No, his stuff was really kind of turn of the century, like tumbleweed.
Yeah.
It was evocative.
I'd rather listen to his version of that stuff than the band's version of it.
Indeed.
That song, from this day on, I own my father's gun. That's a great song. And then that one, Amelina Kedahay. That's another good one. I gotta listen to that album again. I haven't listened to Tumbleweed Connection in a while.
Yeah.
Good old country comfort in my bones. That's one where it's just like, all right, now you're pushing it. Cause he's just like, I got grandma's in the kitchen fixing up vittles or whatever. Like, it's like, all right, take it easy. It's 1972. Your grandmother's not making, vittles.
She's making you tea. Now shut up.
She's making cucumber sandwiches with the crust cut off. So what's been going on? Any hot goss?
No, God, not at this stage.
How is Las Vegas doing?
Weird. I'll just say that. I hear a lot of noises outside, a lot of squealing rubber and okay. Shouting. Yeah.
A lot of squealing tires and shouting.
Yeah. After dark.
Or as they call that in New Jersey, Tuesday.
Tuesday all day.
I'm starting to regret this fish sandwich show. I think it's a bad idea. I don't want to be known. Look, there's these shows that do these food reviews and they make more money than God. I see the newsletters. I see some of the numbers that come in on these things. Hamburger men. Those guys have made so much money doing that show. It's obscene how much they get. For saying just like, I thought the onion rings were a little cold. And then they hand them a bag of loot.
Advancing the cause of beef consumption. I can see. Fine. There are some people maybe willing to kick them a little more bucks.
I might have to do a whole, maybe I got to throw my hat in the ring though and start doing fish sandwich reviews.
For all fish kind.
For all fish kind. BB,
yep.
I think that might have to be a part of the show.
For all fish kind.
Panko, what would be a good play on words with panko?
Hanky panko.
Hanky panko. No hanky panky, plenty of hanky panko. Boy, oh boy, I'm in trouble. All right, give me something good, and then I'm gonna take some calls and wrap up.
All right, where are they now?
Who are you thinking?
Some geniuses. Andy Partridge and that guy from The Laws and Bill Drummond from KLF.
Andy Partridge is right now, he's looking at a physical catalog, not online, a physical catalog of little army soldiers that he's going to put an order together.
Army soldiers?
Like little metal soldiers. Like miniature soldiers that he can paint.
Mm-hmm. There's a lot of that going around. You'd be surprised.
Yeah, well, Andy Partridge is one of the people doing it. The guy from Bill Drummond from KLF, he's trying to figure out whether a 100-pound note or a 50-pound note, which one's more flammable. He's currently testing that.
On Cuban cigars?
With Cuban cigars, yes. And the guy from The Laws is probably hiding. Like, he's like, no one's going to find me. Try as you may, try as you might, you'll never catch the guy from The Laws tonight.
He's hiding in Bill Drummond's humidor.
He is. He might be hiding in his Let's see. I love it. People are, let's see where we're at now. 113 retweets. There's no way it gets to 1,000.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to do my share.
Oh.
One man, one vote.
Yeah. See any movies lately that you liked?
No. I understand there is Dead Snow 2 is on YouTube free for nothing, and I saw the first one. Those Nazi zombies are a riot.
What's it called?
Dead Snow 2?
Dead Snow 2. That's with the Nazi. That's the one, yeah, with the...
Dead Snow was in 2009, and this is the sequel. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
It looks ridiculous.
What if they called it Dead Snow 2, the squeakquel? To try to get a little bit of that Alvin and the Chipmunks glory.
Exactly. And as far as the film, I wanted to... what did you think of that coverage, that big section on Sergeant Pepper and the Bee Gees documentary there?
Oh, how they skipped that part?
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought that was a little bit of an oversight because... Yeah, look, of course there was so much hatred for disco then that is completely, culturally loaded and despising and dismissive of people of color and the gay community and gay culture where disco was so vital and inspired and strong. And look, I love the Bee Gees, but there's a part of that whole story where they're just like, these dudes slid in, jumped on the disco movement, and then were the first ones to go, well, we're not disco, as soon as it started winding down, as soon as it ran its course. They're one of the architects of its demise, of the art form's demise, and then they were the first one. Then they run away from it also. Right? Like carpetbaggers. They jump on it. With carpetbaggers, that's not a bad thing, is it? I don't even know anymore. I don't want to hurt no one's feelings.
It's not tied to any.
Okay. I just want to make, I don't know. I just, but they jumped on disco. They bleed it dry, grab most of the money and then run it into the ground. And then they're the first ones to go like, we're more than disco, everybody. Disco's one of the many things we do. But they killed the thing that wasn't theirs in the first place. And then they're just like, everybody hated disco. And they hate, it's like, you know, look, yes, all of that is true. But people also hated you guys because you did the Sergeant Pepper movie. One of the worst things anybody's ever seen. Like, it's a little bit of a oversight to make like that didn't factor into any of the downfall of the Bee Gees. Hmm? Am I wrong?
You are not wrong. I think they should have taken a look at the bath that 20th Century Fox took on all this in World War II.
Yes, when they did. Nobody adapts these Beatles things ever. They all eat it whenever they try to across the universe. Sergeant Pepper, all this in World War II was one. I barely know that one, but I know nobody, it didn't set the world on fire.
It had some amazing stuff on it. Roy Wood solo work, Brian Ferry singing She's Leaving Home. I mean, it's got some excellent stuff.
Wednesday night, who's all gone, right? Like,
right.
Why did she do this to us? How could you do this to me?
Henry Grant.
She is leaving home. Like, is it that Brian Ferry or is it like?
No, it's Wednesday morning.
Oh, so he's doing it straight. He's not doing it. I'm picturing him going up and doing like do the Strand era Brian Ferry. Suddenly he's like, Wednesday morning at 9 o'clock as the day begins.
Yeah, you know where I went on the box? Yeah.
What's that? Why would anybody, why did the world even need another rock band after Roxy Music, BB? They should have, the first two albums, they could have ended rock music after that and been like, we figured it out. The best band ever is a bunch of space hoodlums, space greasers have shown up.
Mm-hmm.
Half these guys are dressed like it's Quadrophenia, Mods versus Rockers, and there's a Martian also in the band who plays, is basically playing some weird electronics that he keeps inside a suitcase. And the main guy is a sleazy, handsome guy. Why did anybody need another band after that?
No, that was it. It was the pivot. It was the height of how you put it.
Remake, remodel, top 20 rock songs ever.
Indeed.
It's the funniest thing ever when it just goes boom. That's the funniest thing I've ever heard in terms of like an old fashioned rock and roll rave up. And then there's one guy just making squeaks and squawks on his. How is that not the funniest thing anybody's ever heard?
You ever see them on Top of the Pops with the little chicks and the sitting around the stage? They're totally into it. Oh my God.
I love it. I love it so much. We didn't need another band after Roxy Music. No. We should have just ended. We should have been like, all right, let's figure a different thing out because rock music got figured out.
Mm-hmm.
Baby, you're a joy to talk to.
You too, fella.
I'm worried about this Ahoy show. I can already feel the upset stomach.
I've also got two updated wacky packages for you.
All right. What are they?
Scope Polyamine knocks out you and your bad breath.
Wait, what is it? Scope?
Scope Polyamine.
Okay. I don't get it. I don't get it. I'm not smart.
Scopolamine?
What's that mean?
It's a drug.
I wish I was smart.
The other one is fentanyl wafers.
Well, I see a theme running through these.
Absolutely. If we're going to do, if you're going to update wacky packages, you got
to incorporate some pharmaceuticals into the mix. Fentanyl wafers. That's fantastic.
I'm glad you like it.
All right, my friend. Once again, you do it. You do it. You do it. You do it again. I appreciate it. I'm glad you're doing great. You're hanging in there. That's all we can do. And I cannot wait till I'm back in Las Vegas and I see my friend BB.
Hey, you give me some warning.
Oh, of course. Don't worry. I will.
I have to clean up the.
You don't worry. You don't worry. Do a thing. All right. I will talk to you soon.
See you, buddy.
Okay. Take care. Pat, any other calls?
Two
more. This fish sandwich thing, the tweets have kind of slowed down. It's not going to happen.
You want to retweet it from your account?
No, I don't. I want to see if it stands as a thing on its own. I'm not going to promote this thing.
156.
I'll do the show. 156.
Yeah, I don't think so.
It's 850 away.
Yeah.
When does it have to be retweeted by?
I don't know. We'll see how it goes. If it runs its course, it's just not going to happen no matter how long I set. Give me another call, please. Besho, hi.
Ahoy, Captain Tom.
Don't push it yet, buddy. What do you got for me?
It's Woody in Rochester, Tom.
Woody in Rochester. What's up, Woody?
Oh, you know, not too much. I'm, you know, listening to the show, trying to stay warm.
That's all you can do sometimes.
All we can do. I was listening to your call with the Staten Island garbage rats. I was thinking, like, maybe at some point there could be some kind of a physical challenge, like you guys have to climb up, like, a trash mountain.
That's pretty good. You climb up a trash mountain.
There's yeah. some kind of prize up at the top. Maybe Sal drops it off with a helicopter or something.
Yeah, maybe Sal drops the thing down or something to the garbage rats. Maybe a chopper flies over and just drops a thing that like you have to like chase down and get. So you got to climb over all the garbage to get to it.
Yeah.
I like it, Woody. Sounds like somebody's putting their Staten Island garbage rats packet together.
Look, Tom. I mean, you know, send me the details. I'm unrepresented, but I think you should read my pitches.
All right, I'll read your pitches. What do you got for me? What else you got, buddy? Anything? Got something for the topic?
I do have one for that. What about what's the guy from the New York Lotto commercials doing now?
Brett Gelman?
No, the guy from like 15, 20 years ago, the guy who would like speak into a megaphone and he'd be like $10 million.
Or the whatever. Ones where they would just hide the thing because the amount would change all the time?
Yeah.
Is he not still doing them? They bring him back pretty regularly, it seems.
Maybe I just don't watch like regular TV anymore, but I just feel like it just feels like he was everywhere and then I haven't heard about him in forever. I don't know. Maybe he's on TV right now. I have no idea.
Well, God bless him. If he is, he's probably, talking about hitting the lottery. That guy hit the lottery.
Yeah.
But not by playing the lottery.
No, I don't know what his, I assume he's just an actor or whatever, but you know, good for that guy.
Yeah. I need a break like that. Where's my break? Where's my break?
I don't know, Tom.
When do they throw me a bone, huh? When do I get a bleeping bone thrown my way?
Who's going to make the clown laugh?
Who's going to make the clown laugh? That's exactly. I am. What was the clown's name again with the thing?
Pagliacci.
Pagliacci. The great clown, Pagliacci. I am Pagliacci, sir. If I was that doctor, I'd be like, yeah, yikes. Like that's what the doctor would have sent back. He's like, you seem sad. I prescribe you go see the great clown Pagliacci. He makes everyone laugh. Pagliacci is so funny and everybody who sees him has a great time. So my prescription to you is to go see Pagliacci. Sir, doctor. I am Pagliacci. And then the doctor would go, yikes.
Cause really, I mean, like he's just trying to get rid of him, right? Cause he can't solve his problem.
Well, first of all, he can't prescribe tickets to a thing. That's not something prescribable. Tickets?
He's passing the buck.
Okay, scribbles out on a pad. If that was the way to do it, I'm going to go be friends with the doctor and have him like, write out, he'll prescribe tickets to a thing. And I'll just start going to things and get a doctor prescription. Just like, oh yeah, I got a prescription. I got these tickets for the show.
Yeah. The only, unfortunately, this patient's case is so far advanced. The only thing that is going to work is like a all backstage access, you know, for a Paul McCartney tour.
Yeah. Yeah, I need a platinum circle thing for a Mertzbau show.
I think that's not too hard to get.
If the doctor prescribes, you should go, my prescription for you, you're sad. I prescribe, you see, KG Hino in concert for the KG Hino concert. Any band on Poor Strong Family, High Rise, any will do. Sir, Doctor, I am KG Hino. Yikes.
You got to see all the 99 board drums or whatever.
I wanted to see, tell her, I hope everybody's making notes that I'm making some pretty sweet noise music jokes.
Did you hear me laughing? I got all of your jokes.
Yeah, you get them. I was making Steve Reich jokes on Twitter. I got the whole thing, man. I tell you.
I've seen a lightning bolt like.
Yeah. If the magazine Wire ever puts together like any kind of like late night talk show, I want to write jokes for it.
Oh yeah. Yeah, for sure.
Wire Night Live with your host. Who'd be a host for a thing would be,
Nick Cave.
No, what's his face? What's his face?
Blitz of
Bargeld could host the thing, and then it'd be like, but I was thinking more like, Simon Wickham Smith, right? Musical guest, Borbidamagus. Yeah, there you go. Keep the noise community happy.
Well, it's a huge part of your demo here.
This is not my demo. My demo's all over the bleeping map. I got people calling about cookies, impractical jokers, noise stuff. No wonder the show is a weird thing that it makes no sense.
Makes perfect sense to me, Tom.
Thank you. Makes perfect sense to me, too. You get it, Woody. Thanks for the call, buddy.
We get it. They don't. Have a good night.
Thanks. You too. Pat, any more calls?
Final call.
Best show. And I retweeted it. I didn't quote tweet it. I retweeted it. I felt the pressure.
I think it's fine.
It's not moving the needle much.
No, we got about 20. It's moving. We're at 189 right now.
Okay.
We could make 1,000.
Best show. Hi.
Hi.
To whom am I speaking?
You're speaking to William in Naperville, Illinois.
William in Naperville, Illinois. What's up, William?
Nothing much. I mean, in terms of like what I've been doing, last night, I watched the Paul Schrader movie, The Comfort of Strangers, which was easily the worst Paul Schrader movie I've seen yet.
That's the one with, Pauly Shore. Is that?
Yeah. It's Pauly Shore. It's Bobcat Goldthwait, you know.
Hey, don't put Bobcat Goldthwait down.
That's fair. That was a cheap shot.
Come on. It's a cheap shot. I think I did a horse movie. I would do that. You don't think I would do that same movie? Hot to Trot. Somebody offers me Hot to Trot. I'm all over it. That guy's a good guy. And he put his money where his mouth is. He makes good movies, the kind of movies he wants to see.
No, I have nothing against Bobcat.
You walk it back, you rat bastard. You wanna throw some mud at Pauly Shore, you do that. What do I have the pleasure of this call?
Okay, well, for the topic, I think just about any of like the bit players in Uncut Gems would qualify for to seriously ask what they're doing now. But I really want to know about the guy at the casino or at the sports bar with Julie at the end. The guy who's like walking her through the bet, I believe.
Who, Wayne Diamond?
No, he's the guy with Julia when Wayne Diamond, like, shows up. Like, I believe his credit is Kindly Gambler.
Kindly Gambler.
Ara Daglian. I think the story is that, like, one of the Safdies met him at the bar the night before they shot, and he just told him to come on and, like, be in the movie.
Man, I'm hanging out at the wrong places. I could have been one of their street mutants. Right? You tell me I couldn't be a Safdie Brothers street mutant?
You know, it's like sliding doors, you know. What couldn't be?
Maybe they do another movie. You think they do Uncut Gems 2?
I mean, there's not much in the way of sequel hooks there, but I think they can manage it.
No, this is what it is. You follow the gem. It's a whole new cast.
Okay.
You follow the gem. That's what you do. Follow the bleeping gem. Do it as an ensemble thing like Fargo. That's a bad show. That's a bad show. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I don't watch it.
That might be the most boring show in history.
Yeah.
Actor bait. Look, I'm going to stop now before I get myself in trouble. That's actor bait. Give an actor a long speech and everybody thinks it's great. No, it's just a lot. There's a lot of it. It's not good, but there certainly is a lot of it. It's like if you're eating at an all-you-can-eat buffet and the food's terrible, but keep going. That's Fargo, the show. I'm stopping now.
Okay. I mean, if you want to go after this guy, you can go after Legion, which has ended. So you're safe there, I think.
I never watched No Legion.
Okay. That's fair. And he's got
Fargo, yikes. Show.
Yeah, he's got an alien show allegedly coming soon. So you got that.
It sounds like you have an axe to grind with the guy. I don't know the guy.
I don't know him either. I'm just picking up on energy and like giving you options.
Well, I appreciate it. You know, one thing you got to realize, my friend, is that anger is an energy. Anger is an energy. Remember that song? I could be wrong. I could be right.
I'm afraid to say I don't know that song.
You don't know that song? Are you going to do a little homework if I give you a homework assignment?
I mean, I got nothing better to do, sure.
You go look. Go see if you can track down a song. Search the word anger as an energy and you see what you come up with.
Okay. I'm searching it right now.
But you don't do it now. Do it later. You call up next week.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Anything else, Chief?
I think I'm probably good, though I don't want to be too much of a bother. I did not get the answer on what Kindly Gambler is doing.
Oh, the Kindly Gambler? It's probably still Kindly Gambling.
Even he's just stayed at the bar throughout the pandemic.
Yeah, he's wearing one of those face shields. I picture him wearing a face shield. I picture Wayne Diamond wearing a face shield. And they're at the bar, Mohegan Sun? Where'd they fly to?
Yeah, it's Mohegan Sun. Yeah.
Yeah, Mohegan Sun. Not Mohegan. Mohegan Sun. Yeah. That's what I picture they're doing.
Well, I God willing, I hope they're doing well, you know.
Let me ask you a question. I look on Twitter and I see things. People are always like, they'll be like, oh, here's a rating of how popular Joe Biden is right now and how popular it's like, I don't know. Do things like that just feel like a whole lot of hot air to you? Like, what do I care about a survey right now? I care that people are, broke. I care that they're hungry and that they are not able to pay their, rent and have a roof over their head and food on the table. It just feels like egg-headed, kind of like wonky way at looking at the world.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I mean, I haven't personally encountered that on my, like, I assume it's on Twitter.
It is on Twitter.
Yeah, I admittedly mostly follow film people on Twitter, so not really getting so much of that.
So you're like a Zack Snyder kind of guy.
Yes, I am a Snyder cut person, and yeah, I'm glad you're not a Disney/Marvel shill. So, you know.
No, then you wouldn't be able to hang with it. You'd be mad at it. Well, first of all, you wouldn't like it because it's a comedy show, and
that's true.
Anything remotely funny, you would have no time for. You'd be like, why is the show not moody? He's not mad and quiet all the time.
Yeah, why is the artwork not in like black and white and one like square aspect ratio?
Yeah. I like Superman's costume when it looks dirty and dingy and gray, and where you're like, you gotta figure, you gotta remember, oh, it's red and blue usually. Not now. It looks like he's been rolling around in then some soot.
Yeah. I like it when Batman says bad words, because, you know, it reminds you that, you know, he's not such a nice guy.
Yeah.
You know, because Michael Keaton, he kept it clean, even though he did murder those people. So, you know, gotta make it edgy.
Mm-hmm. I love it. You keep that edge. Are you going to watch the thing? You're going to watch the thing? The
Snyder Cut?
You're going to watch it. You can't help it.
Honestly, that's probably true. I did watch Malcolm and Marie for basically the same reasons I would watch the Snyder Cut. So, sure.
Snyder Cut. Snyder Cut. I'm going to watch the Snyder Cut. Superman flying around. Batman driving the Batmobile. Look out. Here comes the Snyder Cut. Take that to the bank.
I'm sure Zack Snyder took all of the money he was given for the Snyder Cut directly to the bank.
I'll say this. He didn't take no money for it, actually. He did give it to charity. He did give money to charity. Okay. That he.
Yeah, I had heard that.
I feel for that guy. As much as he's not one of my favorites by any way, means, or anything, the guy loses his kid when he's trying to make a movie. That's the most impossible thing you could imagine.
No, he seems like everything I've heard about him says that he's like a really nice guy.
I don't know how do you get out of bed after that?
Exactly, yeah.
Look, movies might stink, so what? Plenty of movies that stink.
Yeah, I mean, I find the like cult around like despising him like to be like almost as absurd as the people holding him up as a god.
Yeah,
you know, most of those people are just like, oh, Batman.
Look at this. It's kind of like, well, what if he is just in the middle of the pack? Like, yeah. Here's a wild concept for you. He's mediocre.
I mean, even like Batman v Superman has some good stuff in it. Like, it's not totally like the worst.
No, thing. Don't push it. You're
okay. That's fair. That's fair.
When I saw Batman vs Superman, it was so drab and dreary that I started, and I saw like the opening day at like a noon screening or something like that. It was definitely during the day, and the theater was packed with all these superhero fans looking to get their thrills. And then it was so dreary, I was starting to fall asleep. So I started staring at the floor at a peanut M&M's bag because it had color in it. And it was the only thing keeping me awake was the yellow from a peanut M&M's bag. It was like, that's when your movie has some problems. All right, my friend.
Yeah. Okay.
It's time to end the best show.
Okay. Well, it's been good talking to you, and I'll call next week with the song.
You please do.
Thanks. I will. Okay. Bye.
Bye. Make sure he doesn't get through next week.
On it.
Well, my friends, the time has come to raise the roof and have some fun. Throw away all the work to be done and let the music play on. Everybody sing, everybody dance. Lose Yourselves in Wild Romance. We've got a party. Samba, Fiesta, Forever. All Night Long. The words of the master, Mr. Leonard Cohen. Well, my friends, the time has come. Raise the roof and have some fun. Throw away the work to be done. Let the music play on. All night long. Best show is over, but I'll tell you this. The Islands record is awesome. I heard the record. I love it. It's great. And it comes out in June, and it's called Islomania, and you're going to love it, and get ready for it. Thanks to Sal Volcano for calling in and talking to us and giving us a little thrill. What else we got going on? Patreon.com/thebestshow is the place to go to get all your best show stuff. We got Meet My Friends, The Friends going up, episodes exclusive to the Patreon feed. We have episodes of So Far, the Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young show, exclusive to the Patreon feed. Go there. Get your fill. Any other things to say? Anybody?
I think it was a great show, Tom.
Thank you. Thank you, Jason. You get it. Not sure why the other two producers didn't feel likewise, but,
real quiet over there. Real quiet.
If I followed Jason, then you wouldn't have liked my comment.
No, you could have beat him to it. You could have rushed in there and said it was a great show. Could have shoved your way through.
It's a cliche.
Oh, well, look, Mike just hit on something. Mike said it's a cliche that the show being a great show is just, yeah, what else is, and water is wet, is what Mike is saying.
Exactly, yeah, yeah.
Thank you. Well, thank you, Mike. I appreciate it.
Stating the obvious.
What's going on with, what's going on with Greg Popovich now? This hair of his, he looks like he's auditioning for season 4 of True Detective or something. This guy is fascinating. The coach of the Spurs has this long hair now. It's like when LBJ left office, he grew his hair out. You ever see any pictures of him, Mike?
Yeah, yeah.
No, like after he was president, he had like longish hair.
Oh yeah, to his shoulders almost. I would
think. Weird.
Yeah, yeah.
Greg Popovich is entering that phase of his life. Love him. God bless you, Pop. All right, everybody. I was going to do a little sound collage-y thing, but we have run out of time. I was going to play a little Lou Reed, say happy birthday to Lou Reed. Always love him. And, yeah, we'll get you next time, sweet Lou. And, thanks everybody for listening. I'll play a little Lou Reed on the way out. How about that? What do you think? How do you like them apples? Pat, anything you want to say?
Be well to each other, everyone.
See, that's the kind of thing. Pat's a class act. He didn't even play the game about, it was not about hubris and making Tom blowing smoke. Pat did his own thing. Pat was thinking the big picture. I like that. I like that. That's a class act. Jason was obsequious. Mike was disinterested and vaguely smug and superior. Pat was doing his own thing. Pat was thinking of the human race.
Pat's the nicest person on earth.
Well, that, now suddenly I'm suspect of Pat's motives.
It worked. It worked.
Now I question Pat's motives. That's all it takes is anybody saying anything and I just go along with it. Yeah, you're right. I don't know what Pat's deal is. No, everybody's great. I love all of you and we will talk next week. We'll play a little bit of this Lou Reed song and say goodnight. Catch you on the flip flop. Bye. Play.
Where's Dougie Back. Yule?
No, man, dead I home.
Whoa! I went to high school with Dougie Yule. You can't say that.
Oh, well, I can say it, but I didn't mean it. And all those older guys, they said that he was mean and cruel, but you know, one played football for the coach. They said I was losing lightweight, play linebacker, so that I'm playing right in. One played football for the coach. Cause you know someday, man, you gotta stand up straight unless you're gonna fall. Then you're going to die. And the straightest dude I ever knew was standing right by me all the time.